Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show, the special Hoops Edition. This week's guests are Huntingburg Happy Hunter and Georgia Tech basketball player Alan Noss, Jasper High School girls basketball coach Ryan Ernie, Indianapolis Hoops correspondent Don Schulteis, Jasper play-by-play announcer Walt Ferber, and DC Broadcasting Sports Director Kirk Gook Gooksell. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schulteis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, how you doing today?
Well, every time I hear the music from Hoosiers, I just see I see the long line of cars traveling down the back roads of Indiana headed to an away game, and just how factual that scene was, because even today it's done more on the interstates, but how factual it is. And I'm doing pretty good, Joe, today. I might mention that Alan Noss will be with us, not only because he's a Huntingburg Happy Hunter and Georgia Tech star, but also because he's going to be a member of the 2013 Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame induction group. So we're excited to have him talk hoops, talk a lot of different things. And I know, Joe, you've got some things as well. So let's start rolling.
Well, you know, 90% of the show will be basketball, so let's go ahead and let's get the non-basketball out of the way, okay? Purdue football looking for a new coach, and the word is that Butch Jones from Cincinnati has been offered, and he'd be a great hire, but apparently he is possibly waiting to see if Tennessee might offer, so I guess the Boilers are going to have to play second fiddle. But for what a few people don't realize is Joe Tiller was the third choice, so maybe, you know, if the first choice doesn't work out always, the second or third option can work as well. What's your opinion?
Well, they're tweeting that Gruden's out at Tennessee, so, you know, that possibly ups his ante. Now, Tom Dienert from the Big Ten Network, who we had, I'll name drop a little bit, who we had on the show last week, talked about the fact that Butch Jones really was the front runner for sure for the Purdue Boilermakers, and I know we tweeted from on our Twitter site that could Purdue catch lightning in a bottle the way Notre Dame did? Could lightning strike twice, Brian Kelly-type lightning strike twice? So I know Colorado seems to be mentioning his name as well, but I really think Purdue would be a great fit. You know, they call it the cradle of quarterbacks. The talent is not bare at Purdue. They've got some good recruits coming in, quarterback out of Terre Haute South as well. So I really think it could be a great opportunity for Butch Jones. And as you guys talked about last week, Joe, about Purdue needing to up the ante a little bit on salary, not just for the head coach, but for the program overall, the assistants and things like that. I think that if the athletic department and administration at Purdue would be willing to do that, I think it'd be a great spot for Butch Jones.
Yeah, I think that it'd be a great place for him. And you know, the salaries have been up. I think they were spending a little over $2 million for their staff under Danny Hope, which, you know, even though I wasn't a big Danny Hope fan, once I realized just how much of a budget he was on and how much he had his hands cuffed, I mean, you know, they're planning on spending over $2 million for the head coach and a total of $4.5 million. So I'm not sure if the Mitch Daniels factor is factoring in, because quite honestly, right now we have, and I'm not trying to be mean here. We have a liberal female president in a conservative university, so who also took 1/3 of the Big Ten Network money for her pet projects.
Well, I'll tell you that from my standpoint, you know, I watched IU the last 6 to 8 years, and I know that Glass and the gentleman before that, they've put some money out there. And as I said on last week's show, it's not all of it was planted in good ground. You know, some of it was planted on sidewalks and returned nothing. But I think what we're seeing is the mistakes that were made alumni stepped up to help with that, and now it's being put in the right spots. There's no question that things have been done right with the basketball program. It took some time, but it's paying off. And I think things will be done, we'll see the same in football. I don't know to what degree. The goal for IU in football is, yes, get to the Rose Bowl, but it's also to get in that upper half of the Big Ten. And I know Purdue's tradition in football says, well, we should already be in the upper half of the Big Ten, and the Rose Bowl should be a consistent goal. So I think you got to step up. Every business, and let's face it, college athletics is a business. Every business has to put money into their infrastructure to keep it moving and to keep it viable. And college athletics is no different. And, yes, it tears me up to see the millions and millions of dollars that are spent. But in the end, people gravitate towards it. People are willing to pay the ticket prices, watch it on TV. I mean, for example, Joe, the Big Ten Network, by adding Maryland and Rutgers, could see an increase, listen to this number, of $200 million just in adding the new teams into the Big Ten. And if they go forward and would pluck a Kansas or get someone else, big name into the fold of North Carolina, it only increases. And it's all based on the number of people watching, the number of people interested, and some of the population growth patterns in the Midwest have dropped a little bit, but out in that area they have not. So that's all a part of the process. It's a business. As much as we want the emotion and the love of amateur sports, there's another side of it.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And, a little funny IU-Purdue note here. I was in Lagodi this week, ate at the Dairy Master. Have you ever eaten there, Ken?
Excellent, excellent ice cream.
The jumbo tenderloin. But the new owner, Pete Smith. Well, he's owned it for a couple of years. He's a Purdue person. And he told me, this was the day after the North Carolina game, how he's learned to enjoy IU basketball. And do you want to know the trick for him?
What's that?
He's betting on IU so that when IU wins, he's happy. That's Pete's philosophy. He said the other night against North Carolina, he was the happiest guy in the world.
Yeah. Well,
not that the Coach K and Joe Show condone betting, but
we don't.
But I thought that was a funny story by Pete. That's how he's enjoying the game. So.
Well, I think that everybody gravitates to their teams for different reasons, but I think IU right now we're riding a big wave, and being an IU grad and an IU fan, we saw a few lean years. We're pretty fortunate. We just saw a few lean years. I mean, leading up, Davis had some ups and downs, and there were some other issues. Sampson was actually winning and winning big, but he fell into some issues, and Coach Crean had to come in and kind of tidy up the mess a little bit and start from scratch, so to speak. And he's been able to get it done because he and his staff do an outstanding job recruiting and recruiting the right pieces to fit the puzzle. And you know what, Joe? Cody Zeller doesn't hurt. So when you got Cody Zeller, it makes a difference. Let's move on to a few other things before we finish up our segment. Notre Dame, big victory over UK last night. And they had the black is black and black uniforms. They had a blackout at Notre Dame. And even the team was wearing pitch black uniforms. Manti Te'o was in the house with some of the other football players. And obviously Dickie V was in heaven as he's watching Notre Dame upset Kentucky. He even had the Notre Dame coach on afterwards. And Notre Dame plays basketball on the same night as the BCS championship game. And Dickie V asked him if he could have his tickets. So that's how excited they were. But UK obviously showed some weaknesses, showed some real chinks in the armor. And there's no doubt that a lot of it's because they're young. They were definitely out-physicaled by Notre Dame. I thought Notre Dame was very strong physically on the court, defending and shutting Kentucky down. And Kentucky's failure to have what I call a solid point guard to get things started was very evident. They've got two or three guys they're working in that area, Goodwin, Paulson. They just never could get things moving. And it doesn't matter if you got the big man and the forwards. You got to have a guard who can get the offensive started. And Kentucky predicates so much of what they do off the transition, being able to rebound and get it out to start the transition, and then the ball screens and the kicks. But if you don't have people that are comfortable right now getting that done, you're going to have problems. So I think the growing pains are very evident in Lexington. Calipari, I have no doubt, will make it a tournament-level team before he's done. How far they go in the tournament, pretty questionable at this point. But, guys, take it from a basketball. It's early from a basketball coach. It's early. You're going to be better in December than you were in November, better in January than you were in December, and they're going to get better. But it's a great victory for Notre Dame, and they celebrated out on the court afterwards like IU did last year. But last year, Kentucky was number one and undefeated. It was a little bit of difference. Pat Knight, a fellow Hoosier, former IU player, son of legendary basketball coach Bob Knight, was tossed from a Lamar game. Does that shock you?
No. What did he do?
Well, I'm sure he got into an argument with the officials. I didn't see the whole thing, but he was tossed, and they said he called Coach Knight afterwards. So
no
probably
chair.
Wanted to get some insight on how to handle the tossing. But you're not shocked by it at all, Joe?
No chair. I'm shocked there wasn't a chair at all. So,
that's saved only for special moments against Purdue.
Okay, so, well, and who won that chair game?
Well, there's no doubt that who won that Purdue game, but who won national championships?
I don't know. I don't live in the past, so.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I'm 50 today. I only look to the future, not the past.
Yeah, we need to wish you happy birthday. You're a half century old, Joe.
I don't know how much of the future I have left, so I'm only looking to that now. So,
well, take it from a guy who turned 50 back in June. Take it day by day. That's all you can do, day by
okay.
day.
Hey, I tell you what, I've got to go get our next guest on the line now. Do you want me to give you a question from the from someone who texted a question in, or do you want to talk politics again?
You didn't like my political rant a few weeks ago?
Well, I don't know for a political show, but I mean we could get into that. I don't know.
Give me a question, Joe, and we'll handle it while you get ready to bring Walt Ferber on.
Okay, this question is from Josh Houchin. Josh is one of our sponsors, Idea Fusion Media, but we answer all questions. But here's his: the Big Ten has three ranked teams in the top 10 currently. One of them is the Hoosiers, obviously. What do you see out of the other two teams, Michigan and Ohio State, and how they match up with IU?
Well, Josh, that's a great question. And as we end this first segment, well, let's talk a little bit about it. I know as the year goes on, we'll get into a little bit more in depth on it. We know what the Hoosiers have. The Hoosiers are number one in the country, and they have a great mix. All three sweet spots, as I like to put it, are filled. Great center in Cody Zeller. To watch him run the floor the other night, I think I've said on several occasions on the show, and you can go back and listen to it on podcast, that Cody Zeller ran the floor better than any big man in the country. He ran it very similar to a three-man or a small forward. They've got forwards that have quickness, the ability to rebound, the ability to defend, the ability to score. And they have guard play that can shoot the open shot, take the ball off the dribble, and also pass the ball. Even though Yogi Ferrell has some deficiencies in his shooting right now, but remember, he's young, he does a great job because of his quickness. You have to respect him. You have to defend him. And IU's doing a great job of having holes set up at three-point line distance and be prepared for Ferrell to dribble in and kick it out. That's not just something that's happening on the floor. That's something that IU works on. That's something that a lot of teams, when they have the quickness to penetrate and pull the defense, they set their shooters up and get them ready to be in a position to catch the ball and shoot. And so they're doing a great job. Michigan, number three in the country. I've seen them play a couple times. Coach Beilein does a great job with his perimeter game, with getting the ball out and shooting the basketball. They've got a nice team. They've got great shooters. They've got mid-range size all the way around the court, and they've got some legendary names as far as basketball is concerned, with Glenn Robinson III and Hardaway Jr. And they've got an excellent team. They've got Trey Burke, who's as good as anybody in the Big Ten. They've got balanced scoring. They're shooting about 42% from three-point range. Here's my concern about Michigan. And folks, you can write it down, Jason, and you can come back and get on me, or Josh, you can come back and get on me later if I'm wrong. The thing that worries about me about Michigan is I don't see a good inside game. Now, right away, you're going to jump on me and you're going to say, well, what about Mitch McGarry? Well, I think he's a good player, and I think he's going to keep getting better. And John Harford, I think they're going to get better. But right now, I see the typical outline of Michigan that I've seen the last few years. Shoot the three, transition the ball, reverse the ball, shoot the three, and some dribble penetration. I still don't see get the ball inside, kick it out, get it back, find the easy shots in the half court, where IU creates easy shots in the half court, as does Ohio State. I think that Michigan has a wealth of ability. I think they're quick, fast. I think they're smart out there. But when that three's not falling, do you have something to fall back on? Can you defend well enough to create layup opportunities? Can you move the ball and break down the defense? I don't care who you are listening out there. No one likes to – there's very few people that like to play defense. And most young men and women don't like to play more than 15 or 20 seconds of it. So to be able to break them down, you've got to move the basketball. You've got to kick it in, kick it out, find the back screen, screen on the ball, get the pick and roll. To do that, you got to break the defense down. And I'm not sure Michigan – has proven it can do that or will do that. So that's what I'm looking for mostly out of Michigan, Josh. So I know you're getting on me right now, but that's how I'm feeling right now about Michigan. Ohio State, not as good as they were last year. Very good, though, and I think that Deshaun Thomas makes them very good. I think Aaron Kraft makes them even better. But they're going to have to find some more out on that court. They played a really good game against Duke at Duke, but I think we'll see the Ohio State chinks in the armor show up as the year goes on, and we start to see the wear and tear on some of the guys. So I think the Big Ten right now, a lot of people are looking strong at the Big Ten. They're pretty excited about where they're at, and obviously Michigan State is in the mix too, although they had a tough injury going. But overall, Josh, I think right now IU, Michigan, Ohio State, with Michigan State right behind, they really are the best of the Big Ten, and they're probably all top 10 teams in the country, but we're just going to have to see how things go forward and the wear and tear, what it does to your team as you move into the Big Ten schedule.
Okay.
Does that answer it, Joe?
You know, I didn't get to hear part of it. Seeing how he's a sponsor, you were nice to Michigan, weren't you?
I was nice to Michigan.
Okay. That's not always easy to do, Josh, but I wanted to make sure he did. So, okay. I'll tell you what. After the break, we're going to have Jasper High School play-by-play announcer for WITZ, Walt Berber, on to break down the Jasper basketball team.
You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. creating beautiful smiles.
We trust that you're a fine, upstanding, God-fearing man with Christian morals and principles who will set an example and a standard of leadership for our boys. Tell me, do you believe in man-to-man or zone defense?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, and we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And with us is the play-by-play man and Hall of Famer, WITZ and the Jasper Wildcats, Walt Ferber. Walt Ferber, how are we doing on this lovely Friday?
Well, I tell you what, Coach, doing well. And when I'm talking to you, my friend, I'm always doing better.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And of course, it is Joe Milligan's birthday today, and he turned 50. And I know you've got about 15 years before you hit the 50 mark. But hoops are starting to really take control of the sports world. You know, isn't it interesting, Walt, when you and I were coming through high school and in our early years, me in coaching and you in broadcasting, high school basketball in Indiana was well on the way before you ever hit November 1st. And now we're looking really at December 1st before the vast majority of the boys' teams start playing and mid-November before the girls start.
Well, you know, it is a little bit later. The Jasper boys have already got one under their belt. And, it was kind of a start, and I really kind of miss it. We had the Holiday Classic at Honeybird Memorial Gym every year that was kind of the big starting point. But without that, you do have a lot of December starts. I know the Cats have one in the books. I'm looking forward to being up on the hill tonight at Northeast Du Bois for them. But, you know, a lot of teams aren't starting till December now.
Absolutely, and it really gives people a chance. You know, they're pushing it a little bit more together. But I will say that I think the time being pushed back just a little bit is good for everybody. It allows the kids that are playing in the fall sports to get a little bit of a rest before they gear up for what can be a long basketball season. And it gives the coaches a little more prep time as they prepare for the start of basketball. Now, you're going to be up at Northeast Du Bois. And before we jump into the Jasper Wildcats and their first game against Harrison and where you see them going, give us a little food for thought on the Northeast Du Bois Jeeps.
I think it's going to be one of the best Northeast Du Bois Jeeps teams we've seen in a while. And I tell you what, if they weren't in this little pocket of the state where they would have to mess with Lagodi and Orleans, they would be one of the favorites, I think, to go to the state. They have Huebner, a three-year starter, a guard that can shoot from any time he gets over the 10-second line. He is a threat to hit a three-pointer. Maybe one of the best ball players in the area that you don't hear a whole lot about. Cameron Riker is 6'3". He is able to put the ball on the floor. He's got quickness. He's able to dribble. If you push him too close, he'll drive past you. If you lay off of him, he can hit the three. He's going to be extremely good there. They have a good interior presence. They've got some versatility. This could be a very, very good Northeast Du Bois squad, and Terry Friedman's got those guys ready to play every year.
Yeah, Terry's done a nice job since he's come in. He started to rebuild the flavor of Northeast Du Bois basketball with his background being from Du Bois, and he's done a really nice job. And obviously, a legend to me is Alan Mottis on the girls' side, who's also been on the boys' side. What a phenomenal job he did when he got back into coaching and chose to do it in girls' basketball, who I think the girls still play the purest form of basketball as we know it. He's done a great job with their program. But the boys will start with Orleans, and Orleans has over the last 6-7 years, especially during this class basketball period, but also before when I was coaching at Jasper, we played them in the regional over at Washington. They were successful even before that. Orleans has always had a good, solid program. So this will be a really good test for the Jeeps.
Well, yeah. Like I said, they have some good squads. They're going to push. They're opening up tonight though against your old Washington Catholic Club. So we'll see how they do against WC tonight. But I think the big threats for them this year in advancement will be Orleans. And it seems like every year over in that sectional, they host that over there, that some way or another it comes down between Northeast Dubois and Orleans. And I think between the two of them, they've won, the last six up there. Of course, Dubois being realigned a little bit, and I think they moved down to Tecumseh now in that sectional there. But I'm looking forward to those guys tonight. And, of course, we've already seen Jasper one time this year.
And with Jasper coming up off their first game against Harrison, and what a tough game it was, the Duncan brothers and a lot of other talent on Coach Spears' team. A lot of people wondered about starting with Harrison. You know, it was a change in the schedule. But as Jasper fans may have noted, we used to have Harrison in the 60s and 70s. We used to play them about the second game of the year. So playing Harrison early in the season wasn't that much of a stretch, but it was a lot different for Jasper this time. And it really gave, I think, the coaches a great opportunity to come back to their team and say, these are some areas we must improve upon if we're going to be successful on our schedule in the Big Eight and eventually tournament time.
I would agree with that. It does show where your deficiencies are, what you have to work with. And there was also, even though they ended up getting beat by 20, there were some positives really from that basketball game. Through the first half, Jasper actually led that game through most of the first half. They played, really, really solid defense. Mark Giesler was a force on the offensive side of the basketball. He drove to the basket well. Nick Gobert hitting a big three-point shot. So, I mean, even though they did lose, I think there were a lot of positives. And I think there's a lot of good things on this Jasper basketball club. And I really think they came out of that ball game overall with a pretty good feeling.
Well, they jumped back in it against Mount Carmel. And I know Mount Carmel's opened up with a victory. One of the things that I think probably Coach Gable's looking at with his staff is how do we produce some more points? How do we produce some easy shots? And who can step up for us on the perimeter and knock down some shots to kind of stretch that defense a little bit? Because if you're able to sag in on those big bodies, it's just going to make it that much tougher. But if they can stretch that defense, they've got some size. I mean, what I call physical size, wide bodies down in the post and in the elbow area that can find them some shots. Do you think, in what you've seen, is Jasper going to be able to stretch that defense?
Well, there's some possibilities there. You've got some guys that I think that are able to maybe hit the shot if they've got an open shot. Nick Gobert came up with an open three that ended up giving Jasper the lead at the half. He showed some ability last year to hit the tray. Messier at that guard spot, I think, has some pretty good possibilities of hitting from the outside. Betts, who has done a great job defensively for the Cats, if you leave him open, there is some possibilities. But, and you were right, and you hit the nail on the head, that unless they're able to stretch that defense back outside, and Harrison made adjustments at halftime and basically took that drive to the basket away from Giesler. When you take something away, there's something available. And Jasper's going to have a few guys come out and hit shots. I mean, the one thing I think you will be able to find with this team, Ken, is that they're going to play their tails off. They're going to play smart. They're going to play good defense. They're going to rebound well. But I guess the vernacular I would use, I think this team will be fun to watch, and I think they will win a lot of games ugly. Where you may have a little low-scoring ball games. But, all they need to do to be successful, I think, is to have one or two guys step out and be able to hit the medium range to three-point jump shots.
Well, you make a great point, Walton. As we end this segment, I got to tell you, as a coach, I'd rather win ugly than lose pretty. I'll tell you
yeah,
that right
indeed.
Now. You can listen to Walt Ferber call the Northeast Dubois Washington Catholic game. Obviously, Mount Carmel Jasper coming up on December 1st. Walt, it's always great to have you on the show.
It's good, good being with you guys also.
Have a great weekend, Walt. As we go to break, you are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Think of your website as an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a website that doesn't produce results. Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help whip your site into shape. If you don't have a site yet, let Idea Fusion Media walk you through the entire process, from domain registration and hosting setup to the design and implementation of your site. To see how Idea Fusion Media can help you, visit ideafusionmedia.com. Again, that's ideafusionmedia.com. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you.
We've been all over this before. Their top player is Boyle, number 15. He averages about 20 points a game. Buddy, you got to stick right with him. No inside penetration, shut down those passing lanes. And you got to play tough off those boards. Negate their height advantage.
Hickory, it's time to set the floor.
I'll get free.
Okay. We're way past big speech time. I want to thank you for the last few months. It's been very special for me. Anybody have anything they want to say?
Yeah. Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Okay.
I want to win for my dad. Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Thank you.
God of heaven, it is all one. To deliver with a great multitude or a small company. For the victory of battle standeth not in the multitude of hosts, but strength cometh from heaven.
And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it. And it struck the Philistine on the head, and he fell to the ground.
Amen.
Amen.
I love you guys.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back, and Coach, I know, you know, that was a little bit long, but, you know, when it came to cutting it, where do you cut that scene?
Well, that's a great scene, and I'll tell you, you that kind of a talk goes on more than what you know. Back in 1930, 40, 50, 60, into the 2000s, from high school to the little sixth graders that my dad and I are still involved with, just to keep us involved in coaching and with young people, and whether it's Travis Sides and Matthew Clark and Scotty Schulteis in a sixth grade locker room or college locker room with Sheehy and Oladipo, that camaraderie, that feeling when you get later in the season continues. And folks, it just makes you want to go out and rent Hoosiers tonight and watch that. And you know what's interesting, Joe? And ironic, and you probably didn't even think about this, is Angelo Pizzo, who was prominent in putting that, and David Anspaugh putting that together, that movie together, which just highlighted Indiana basketball throughout the world, Indiana high school basketball. They are both being inducted into the 2013 Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. So.
Oh.
Yeah, ironic, but they will be inductees into the 2013 Indiana High School Basketball Hall of Fame.
Okay, I think I think Allen probably scored a few more buckets than them, though.
He did, but they got a lot more people watching the game. Well, they both did. They all did a great job, and we're happy and excited for them. So let's get into some questions, Joe. On this segment, we do some questions, and if anybody wants to call in at this time, this is a great time to do it with comments or thoughts. But I know, Joe, we have a couple questions that
if they're afraid to talk on the phone and be on air, they can also text 812-630-2449. Again, that's 812-630-2449. Okay, first question from Jim and Jasper. I was at the Jasper and Harrison basketball game. We had a decent crowd for the Cabby Gym. Next year, that amount of people at a game will look small. What is your opinion on continuing to use the Cabby Gym on a part-time basis for games?
Well, Jim, this is the way I look at it. We'll have Athletic Director Andy Noblet on in a future show, and we'll be able to ask him a little bit more about that. I think it would be important and right, proper, to have at least one game a year in the Cabby Gym for two reasons. The Cabby O'Neill Gym was named after arguably the greatest coach in Jasper basketball history. He won a state championship in 1949. He's won the most basketball games in the history of Jasper basketball. He was well-beloved in the community, and you name a facility after him, play games in there. You know, Jasper's been blessed that the number of people that got together and put the Cabby Gym back in what I call working condition did just that before the roof caved in at Jasper High School. So I think you have to use your new facility because you're putting one up. It's out at the high school, and that's going to be your main place for a home game. But they don't play the tournament at Jasper as far as the sectional is concerned. So why not go ahead and play at least one game a year in the Cabby O'Neill Gym for tradition? You know, it's a great part of education. Educate your young people. Educate the next generation of people on Jasper basketball, on its history, and on Cabby O'Neill. And it helps to get down into the spirit, into the emotion, into the heart, a little bit about what Jasper basketball truly is. On January 5th, they will be celebrating 100 years of Jasper basketball. And David Slick Weber, who was our Glory Days guest last week, who did a great job, is spearheading that along with some other people. And isn't it ironic that Jasper basketball is being played in the Cabby O'Neill Gym for circumstances unrelated during the 100th anniversary of Jasper basketball? So sometimes you kind of look and say, man, how are all these things orchestrated somewhere far beyond that what we know? So I think from the standpoint of the tradition of Jasper basketball, its history, helping a generation know and understand what it's all about, and honoring the facility, the time that people put in to put it back together, and Cabby O'Neill's namesake, I think one game a year at least should be played in the Cabby O'Neill Gym. Whether
you know,
that happens, I don't know.
You know what's funny? You know, when you're young, you're also young and dumb. And when we first moved here, you know, Cabby always came to visit my dad. And I knew Cabby O'Neill, but I had no idea that I was standing in front of a legend back then. It was just Cabby, the guy who came to visit my dad at 3D. It just, you know, and that's why it'd be great. I know I've let my kids know who Cabby O'Neill is. I've let them know who Ed Schulteis is, even though Ed Schulteis has coached two of them. You know, it's important, I think, that they know about these people who made such a big, you know, a big impact on the city of Jasper and its sports, which is unbelievably important to the people of Jasper. Okay.
Well, as you grow a program as a coach, the history and tradition is a part of it. I know when I got the job at Jasper, the first thing I did was sent out a letter to the players that I thought were coming out and potential players coming out, and I outlined some of the key traditions and histories of Jasper basketball that they would someday be a part of, and maybe their names would be a part of. And when people walk in that gym and your young child, your young boy or daughter looks at you and says, well, who was Cabby O'Neill? And you start to talk about the history and the tradition, it sinks into them and it's something they carry on. And that's how you build pride and commitment to a program. You need to know where you came from to know where you're going.
Okay, you ready for the next question?
Throw it on me.
It's a loaded question here. You sure you're ready?
I'm ready.
Lagodi and Barrieve are both ranked very high this year in basketball. Who do you think has the edge in this bitter rivalry this year? Sean from Lagodi.
You know, that's a great that's a great question, and it is a bitter rivalry. They are so close together. If you drive over, you just go a couple miles, and there's the Barrieve line and Montgomery and Cannelburg, and they've got a great tradition. And actually, Cabby O'Neill coached at Montgomery before it became Barrieve. I know the superintendent at Barrieve well. I've competed against the head coach at Lagodi, and I know their principal who played for me at Washington Catholic. It is a great rivalry. I'm going to have to give the edge, though, to Lagodi, the defending champion. They've got just an excellent player in Whitmer back, and they have a decent supporting cast to go with them. Now, Barrieve, taking nothing away, Brian Hughes is as good a coach as we've had in the area. He's been there, you know, 20 years as a coach, 334 and 138, 20 and 3 last year, and the only reason they didn't move forward in the tournament was they had to deal with Lagodi. Mike Wagoner has proven that his time with Coach Butcher and his knowledge and understanding of the Lagodi tradition is alive and well, and it's a great rivalry, and they'll be hooking up. Let me check, January 12th, I believe, they'll be hooking up at Barrieve. So mark that on your calendar, folks. And if you just love basketball, I mean, if you just love the atmosphere and the attitudes and the communities coming out, then you got to go see a Barrieve-Lagodi game. It's going to be tough getting in at the Barrieve gym. It wouldn't be much easier getting in at Lagodi's gym, but it's going to be tough getting into Barrieve, so you have to get up there early. Great traditions. Both teams are going to be solid. Barrieve has an excellent underclassman, Addison Wagler, 6'5 sophomore. Excellent player, averaged about 15 points, I believe, as a freshman. So you got two great programs in the class system, and they were two great programs in the one class system. We had to compete against them when I was at Washington Catholic. And Washington, who was the big school, rarely came out of that sectional. It was Barrieve, Lagodi, Washington Catholic some. Those were the people that dominated that sectional over there. Great question, Sean. I'm going to tell you, I got to give the edge to the Lions this year.
I'll tell you what, the great thing about that community, I've worked up there. I know a lot of people up there. I spend time up there. And the thing I really love about that is it's like the old-time feel for basketball. I mean, I was at a Lagodi game, oh, it's probably been about 6 years ago. It was the last game of the year. And they informed the whole town that they're going to be decorating the town the next day for sectional, you know, and they just really get into it. And it's really fun to see, you know, those communities to be like other communities probably were back in the 60s and 70s. But that tradition is still there, and people live and breathe and diet. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch those two go at it. And, you know, and you throw North Davies in the mix, and, you know, you've got one heck of a sectional right there. I mean,
It really is, and it's a generational thing, Joe, and you know that, and our listeners know that. The sons and the grandsons and the great-grandsons continue to come back and play, and the same thing on the girls' side that has started. But Barrieve and Lagodi, if you want to watch basketball, high school basketball, the way it is, not just on the court, but the emotion in the crowd and the support of the students and the adults, Friday and Saturday night, that's what you do. You go watch that game, and you're going to get everybody's opinions and everybody's thoughts on what they should have done and what they should do and how they know the coaches of the other teams on the schedule. They know the players. They know the history. They know what happened 5 years ago. They know what happened 10 years ago. They know when Slick Weber hit those free throws to seal the regional victory in 72 for Jasper. They know that Michael Lewis came through and got the ball in out of bounds to beat Lagodi in the regional championship in 96. They know those things. It's still a part of who they are and what they do. And the last second shot that was waved off at Jasper my last year, and Barrieve beat us on Jasper's home court. We had a last-second shot that was waved off at home. Can you believe it? At home at Jasper. And Barrie got the victory out of it. So those things are still important. It's a great question. We need more of those about the teams and players around the area so we can talk a little bit about them.
Okay, last question I have is from a Spencer County. Name's Bob from Rockport. Coach K, do you know much about the South Spencer Heritage Hills teams this year, and can you give us your evaluation on how they stack up against teams in Warrick, Vandenberg, DuBois County, and other counties around?
Well, honestly, I don't know them as in-depth as I will in the coming weeks as the season gets going. And I know, Joe, you've talked about we're going to have a play-by-play man from that area on. But I think they're going to struggle, actually. I think they're going to have a tough time against the teams in the area. I think the Southridges and the Northeast DuBois, Forest Park is going to have some growing pains. The teams out of Evansville are all pretty good. I think they're going to have to really take care of dotting their I's and crossing their T's and handling the ball. The things I see Heritage Hills, Coach Sisley, are trying to build that program into some consistency. South Spencer's trying to do the same. Even though their football programs have been strong, their basketball teams have been a little bit lean. They've lacked some size. They've lacked some key offensive players. And I think that could continue this year. Having said that, we'll see how they do through the first month of the year because, you know, teams are always better in December and January than they were the month before, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But we can get more in-depth on their individual players and some of the direction the teams are going in the coming weeks. Also, Joe, I might want to add that Andy Eigel, the outstanding former basketball coach who retired this past season at Eastern Green, many sectionals won, always had to run into Forest Park over at Southridge, and this last year got to the championship game but couldn't come out. He'll be one of our guest contributors coming up probably next week to talk about some of the teams up in the Greene County and Monroe County area. So looking forward to have just another knowledgeable, great contributor to come in and talk. And he knows a lot about the Lagodi Lions, North Davies, Barrie, playing all those teams at Eastern Greene. He'll be able to fill us in well on what we can expect in that area of the state.
Hey, Kenny, we do have a caller. I'm going to put him live, and then I'm going to go get our next guest, okay? The caller is name is Slick. He's from up near the Indianapolis area. Slick, you're on the Coach K and Joe show.
Hey, Coach K and Joe, how y'all doing today?
Hey, David, Slick Weber. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Coach. Hey, I just want to thank you for mentioning that 100-year celebration January 5th at the KNC there in Jasper, Indiana. And I'd also like to invite anybody, any ex-player that has not heard from me, they can call me at 812-661-0555 so I can get them in my database and get their email address, phone number, et cetera, so I can keep them up to date on the plans. And also, Kenny, I want to thank you for posting those pictures on the Facebook page, 100 Seasons of Wildcat Basketball. I'd like to see a lot more of them on there. I put some on there from 71 and 72. You've got some on there, I think, from 81 and the years 93 through 95. So the more pictures I get on there, the better. So I really appreciate you mentioning it, Coach.
Hey, Slick, before you go,
yeah.
I might just add a couple things, and you can comment on them. It would really be helpful to the process of celebrating the 100 years of Jasper basketball at the KFC, which is now in the north end of town.
Right.
It would really be helpful if maybe some people from each senior class basketball team took it upon themselves to get a hold of their teammates that they played with, whether they be senior classmates or underclassmen that they played with, just to get the word out, let them know. It probably really helped the process, wouldn't it?
Well, that's the process we kind of got going. I got Kevin Manley and Rick Begley and Greg Effley helping me, and I've kind of assigned them certain classes, and I think, you know, we're trying to get one or two guys from each class, and so far everybody's been very, very helpful, very, very positive on what we're trying to get accomplished. I've got some the newer guys is where I need help. You know, the guys from maybe 2000 to 2012. Obviously, we're kind of older, but we're getting her done, and I'm hopefully going to have everybody contacted here within about a week, and then we'll finalize the plans with the KSC about what time, and you know, hopefully set up a little podium there. Maybe have your dad say a few words, things like that. Maybe some stories be told. Possibly, if I find the time, that's why I want the pictures posted on that website. I'd like to put together some type of quick video going through a quick history, not a long one, you know, just maybe about a 15 or 20 minute, you know, touching the highlights like Cabby's years, your father's years, the old Silver Fox, you know, some obviously the 49 team, the 33 team, I believe it is, that went to the state, things like that, you know, and touch on some great basketball players that we were fortunate enough to be able to watch her being Jasper Wildcat fans. So, you know, like I said, if anybody out there has not heard from me, if they can give me a call, 812-661-0555, and that way they can get in my database and I can get them contacted.
Well, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun for a lot of people, whether you're newly graduated Jasper Wildcat or back from the 1930s, whatever, make it a point to come out, spend some time in January at the KFC. And Slick, we'll continue to mention it. We'll put it on our Facebook site, Coach K and Joe Show on Facebook. We'll tweet it once in a while. And if there's other schools out there, other communities doing something similar to this for your program, let us know. I think this is a great idea, Slick, and I think you'll be surprised at the turnout. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's what I'm hoping. I hope it works out. Coach K, I really enjoy your show, you and Joe. I really enjoy listening to you. And do me a favor, congratulate Mr. Knopf on being elected to the Hall of Fame. That's a hell of an accomplishment, something you ought to be very proud of.
Well, we're going to do that in just a few minutes. And, Slick, thanks for calling in, and feel free to call in each week. We love hearing from the Slick.
I appreciate it, Coach. You take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Slick. And we want to reiterate to people as we get ready to go to our next break, if you are a former Jasper basketball Wildcat player, part of the team manager, statistician, you know, make it a point to come out and celebrate 100 years of Jasper basketball. And if you got a buddy that you played with or you kept stats with, or you're part of the program, trainer, whatever it might be, email them, text them, and let them know that this is going on. And I know Slick Weber, it'll be a lot of fun and a great get-together. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with the new 2013 Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame inductee, Alan Noss, Happy Hunter, and Georgia Tech player. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Join Ken, Coach K, Shel Tyz, and Joe Milligan every Friday from 11 to 1 for the Coach K and Joe Show. High school sports, college sports, pro sports, they will talk about it all with guests from around the state. The Coach K and Joe Show brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. You can listen to the Coach K and Joe Show by going to jaspertodayonline.com and clicking on the link. You can also listen to archive shows there. It's the Coach K and Joe Show every Friday at 11 on jaspertodayonline.com.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team. We've had over 5,000 listeners through our first three shows, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Cleats, you tell them. Sex lows at 33. 1 point down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let her fly. In and out. Yeah, well, that's fouled.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back. I'm Dean Hart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and we are joined by Indiana High School Basketball Hall of Famer, Huntingburg Happy Hunter star, and star of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, Alan Noss. Alan, how are you doing today?
Doing fine today. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations on being elected. That's got to be a big thrill to anybody that's ever played basketball in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, it is, because if you're not from the state of Indiana, you don't realize what the hysteria part of Hoosier hysteria really is, with the excitement that goes on during the season, but especially at tourney time. Being a part of that is really a gift, and we don't realize that, I don't think, as a player until we get older, how special those times were.
Hey, Alan, this is Ken Schulteis. Again, congratulations from us all. And can you tell us a little bit about, I mean, I want to get into your career and the Happy Hunters and Georgia Tech, but can you tell us a little bit about how you found out that you had been selected?
I got a call from Sam Alford, who had a son, Steve, of course, that everybody is familiar with, and also with Sam and his coaching career when he started out at Monroe City and ended up at Newcastle and coached there and was very successful. He was one that called me from – he's on the Hall of Fame committee. I think that he serves as secretary for that organization. And he gave me a call and gave me the good news that I'd been chosen as one of the 14 to go into the 2013 induction, which will happen on March the 20th. Yeah.
Did you get goosebumps?
Of course. Right? You get this feeling, and it's right that same feeling that you get we often talk about that. Connie says something about when I get to the game, I don't talk a lot. When I just go to watch a game, and I say, Connie, you got to realize that through the years, whenever you go in as a player and you make that step inside the gym door down to the locker room, that feeling, that just the adrenaline that starts pumping through your body, and you can't stop that. When you stop playing, you still get that feeling when you go into the gymnasium. And so when you get a call like this from the Hall of Fame, why, it brings that same feeling back.
You know, Alan, what you just said kind of gave me some goosebumps, because when you do walk in that gym as a player and even as a former coach, I walk in, you know, my mind just goes to the floor and to the warm-ups and what they're doing. And I'm sitting there, and my wife, who's a wonderful coach's wife, and my kids will go along and they'll just say, don't talk to Dad, he's watching the game. And that's just about what happens. You get yourself back into that moment where you're out there. And speaking of those wonderful moments, you grew up in Huntingburg, a member of the Huntingburg Happy Hunters, a community that loved its basketball, that went out of its way to make sure they had a gym that was recognizable throughout the state. Just tell us a little bit about what it was like to grow up in Huntingburg, play basketball there, and be a part of that great tradition that is surrounded by that wonderful, wonderful gymnasium.
Let me take you back in time. Is that I'm 71 years old, and so it was during the 50s that when we were kids growing up, and you had the outdoor basketball courts, and you played all through the year. If it was raining a little, why, you just got muddy. If it was snowing, you just got a little chilled. But it was different neighborhoods had their outdoor goals all over. If you went through DuBois County, state of Indiana, the outdoor basketball goals. And so you grew up playing with a lot of different kids in the community. And a lot of those kids never were able to play on the high school team or even grade school team, but they were a part of what you that camaraderie that you grew up with playing. And you'd go to the different neighborhoods and play. And then when you came out of the old Huntingburg gym that's the youth center now, and you go into this magnificent building that you don't have any walls to judge distance by, and it's just like there's gold staking out there in space. It's a whole new feeling. And you also get a feeling from from that as the tradition and the history. And I remember the 53 team and when they had over 7,000 people, which fire marshal wouldn't allow you to do today, but over 7,000 people to watch the Huntingburg Happy Hunters play Evansville Central for the number one spot in the polls in the state of Indiana. And probably another thing is that going to Jasper and playing in the now Cabby O'Neill Memorial Gym is that that was a wonderful feeling. I know that there's been some people who say, oh, we just hated to play at Jasper. That was a joy for us to get to go to Jasper and all the excitement and the kids circling the floor and the adults circling the floor and to hear that enthusiasm, though they were cheering for Jasper, but we fed off of that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people maybe don't understand that going in to the hostile environment isn't really a negative all the time. It pumps you up, it energizes you, makes you a little sharper. It's exciting to go into those arenas. I know growing up as a young boy, following my dad's teams at Jasper, we'd go over to play at Southridge, whether it be during the regular season or tournament time, then playing for Jasper in the 80s and going over there, and then coaching and going over there. It's a feeling that is difficult to relay to people who don't quite can't connect with it, even though it wasn't the home court, even though it wasn't the majority of it. It's just something special about it. Now, when you were in high school, at the time you were playing, you were considerably taller than most of the guys you were playing against.
That's correct, yeah. Rich Welp, that was a year younger than me, that we played together for, let's see, 2-3 years, is that Rich was 6'5", I was 6'6", and yes, that was considered tall at the time. Dick Persson, that played at Jasper, was 6'6", so there were other players around. Of course, Winslow always had good ball players, but now we would have to learn a different position and learn to shoot from the three-point line.
Yeah, it would be a little different game, but knowing the people that saw you play that have told me you could have developed that, you'll leave Huntingburg after a great career and you move on to Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech and some of the other Southern universities were just great great funneled feeding ground for kids from Southern Indiana mm-hmm. and the Indiana area. I know Jasper had them, Dale had them, Huntingburg. They go down. It had to be a thrill to be able to go to the next level, but you go into a really new environment for you. You grew up in Huntingburg all your life, and now you're down at Georgia Tech, and you're playing big-time basketball.
That is different, and I don't know how to explain that either, other than we had people at Tech at that time like Roger Kaiser from Dale. He was 2 years ahead of me. John Hoffman, who was Roger's from Jasper, who was Roger's roommate. So there were people down there that kind of nursed us into the big time of playing basketball. And big time is going to University of Kentucky and playing against those, I won't call them crazy fans, but they're very rabid fans. The Big Blue, they love their basketball there. And I guess a sense of satisfaction is that in my 4 years at Georgia Tech, the record was 5 wins for Georgia Tech and 3 wins for the University of Kentucky. So if there's any Kentucky fans listening right now, is that you weren't always on top. And Georgia Tech also ended Kentucky back in the mid-50s. I think they had a 124, 126 home winning streak, and Georgia Tech was a part of beating them and ending that streak. So a lot of history between the University of Kentucky and Georgia Tech.
Alan, this is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Back in that in your era and even earlier on, there seemed to be a lot of players from the area go to the SEC and go south to play basketball. How did that all come to be? Was there a connection
I think there was a connection. And I think if you come from small communities in Southern Indiana, you feel that. We certainly had the opportunity to go play at the Big Ten schools and other schools around the country, offers to go and play in those particular arenas and in that particular environment. Probably had more to do with our going to the south was that we knew the people that were down there, the good experiences that they had in playing, and really that old term they call camaraderie that you have of being part of a team again. And like John Hoffman, having played against John when he played at Jasper and then having the opportunity to play with him at Georgia Tech and also with Kaiser and people from Lagodi, Vincennes, Tell City, wide area around here. And the influence of Bob Hoffman, John's dad, who is an official, Jim Fritch, Mickey Summerstein, it's that feeling of family. And I think that's probably had the biggest part in the recruiting process, plus the academic excellence of the University of Georgia Tech.
I got a question I always like to ask parents who have been very successful athletes and have kids that are very successful. And Andy played on two mm-hmm. state Final Four teams.
Yes, he did.
Were you more nervous playing or watching Andy play?
The obvious answer is more nervous watching Andy play and that particular team because you grow up and those kids all played together, were in the Boy Scouts together, were in activities together, and being able to share that experience, not only having Andy as our son, but also the Yoakums and the Steinharts and all the ones that were a part of that team, being able to share with their families that experience. Being able to get on the floor and to play, the nervousness leaves. I don't know. It's just totally different. As we talked earlier, you get that adrenaline high walking into the gym, going through warm-ups. But then when you have that center jump, everything just kind of flows back into the competition of the game at that time.
Well, you know, and that had to be exciting for both of you to be able to share in that time in the one class system and to do it 2 years in a row. I also want to ask you a little bit more about Georgia Tech. I mean, Alan, you didn't just go down there and take a uniform. You went down there and you were a major contributor for Georgia Tech. In fact, in 62-63, you were a senior and led the Yellow Jackets to a 21-5 record. And you were the captain of the team as well.
Yes, and that particular team, at one time, we were ranked sixth in the country, which speaks well for the SEC and Georgia Tech at that time and the respect that we had nationwide for the basketball program. That Jim Caldwell was on that team. I was a senior. Jim was he was from Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Artie Craddock was from Kentucky. Ron Scharf was from Illinois. Mike Tomasevich was from West Virginia. And so whenever we would go to the University of Georgia to play, whenever they announced the lineup, they would always mention your name and where you were from. So it's interesting that we came from a variety of places.
Well, and with that, you did have a very good – you did play on very good teams. And mm-hmm. But the tournament at the time was limited. When you look back, if you'd got in the tournament, if you'd been a part of the tournament, how do you think your teams would have done? How would you have fared?
We would have done very well. In fact, we were looking forward. You run through peaks and valleys during a season. You know, you've been through that. And towards the end of the year, we were really starting to come back to a really, really good peak again. We were playing well. Everything was going smoothly. Mississippi State, and we were battling with them for the conference championship, and they were number one. They were scheduled to go. There were 16 teams in the NCAA at the time. And Babe McCarthy was their coach, and the University of Mississippi State, but the state of Mississippi wouldn't allow them to play against an integrated team, which was Loyola's Chicago. And we were really, really looking forward because we were next in line to go. And Babe pulls a stunt. He loads everybody up on a DC-3 in the middle of the night at midnight and flies them up to Chicago against the governor's wishes. And that's how close we were.
And, well,
I would have enjoyed that. Now, in my freshman year, Kaiser and Hoffman got to play in the NCAA, and their first game was about like when Andy's team went to the state and had to play Marion both times the first game. They had to play Jerry Lucas, Havlicek. Well, Bobby Knight was on that team. Outstanding Ohio State team. That was the first team that they had to play. They came out. George Dick came out on the short end of that game. Well, a lot of other teams at that time against that. Oh, excellent. Maybe one of the best teams Ohio State's ever had. Yeah.
Well, you know, when you look back on your life, Alan, and you've got a lot of years to go yet, I'm not in any way cutting short the future. You've got to look back and say, hey, you know, I've been blessed and been in some pretty good situations all through my life. And even though you were just a freshman, to be able to experience going through at that time and some of the great players who would go on to not only be great players on the college level, but the pros, and one of them become one of the winningest basketball coach in college history for a short time. And just all the things you've experienced, then to come home, be successful, and your wife be successful, and then your son go on to have success. I mean, when you look back and where you're at today, I mean, you just got to feel good. And this is just another layer of icing on the cake for Alan Noss.
And very, very special. When the feeling that you get when you first, you know, when Sam called me, is just, you're just very humble because you, as a competitor, as an athlete, you always think, did I leave it all on the floor, or did I hold something back? Did I give it all? So to me, that first feeling I had was, you know, did I really deserve this? Did I really put out enough? Did I, you know, that feeling. And you get, then later on you think you're proud of the things that you were able to accomplish, and a sense of pride takes place. And pride's not a bad thing. It is to the extreme, but to be proud of what you've done is certainly commendable, I think.
Well, and it shows that the gifts that you've been given, you worked hard to make sure they were used. What would you say to parents listening, and maybe to some of the young people listening? I know we even have some listeners that are even the grade school level that listen when they get home after school. What would you tell them about how to approach not just wanting to be a good basketball player, but approaching things that they want to do in general to be successful?
That's a good question. Give me a chance here. I really believe that you have to enjoy what you're doing, is not to let somebody say, I think that you need to do this or you need to do that, when really the thing that you enjoy doing, that you're willing to spend the time and the effort to be successful at. Sometimes our parents would lead us in ways that really don't lend themselves best to our abilities, but maybe a dream that they have of their own. So don't be afraid to follow what your dream is and to let it take you there. And the thing about playing basketball, I've often said, I really enjoyed playing basketball. I enjoyed playing sports. But there's other people that if they said, Alan, that you have to play the violin because we want you to be a great violinist, that wouldn't have been my thing. And to be pushed into that wouldn't been for my benefit. I think that sometimes parents forget about sports. It's an extracurricular activity. It's something that kids need to enjoy. And as you grow up, not to put so much pressure when you're young, to allow them to find the joy of participating in a sport and the camaraderie that goes with it, and to kind of cut back on the competitive part of it until later on, I think that's important.
Well, that's well said, Alan. And not to say that there won't be some tough days along the path, but you gotta have your heart in it, and you gotta find that joy no matter what comes at you. And man, we appreciate having you on. We're so blessed and honored that you would take time to share with us. And let me remind the people listening that the banquet will take place on March 20th, 2013, and they can get tickets by calling the hall at 765-529-1891, or they can go to www.hoopshall.com. Get up there and celebrate the 2013 Hall of Fame class with Alan Noss and the rest of the inductees. And Alan, thank you very, very much for being with us. We were honored to have you.
Thank you. It's been an honor for me to be on your program. So thank you very much.
We're going to get ready to go to break here. We want to thank everybody that's been on up to this point, and good luck, Alan Noss, in your induction. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Come on, let's play it. Let's move. Come on, let's move.
Where do we scrimmage?
We don't scrimmage. No shooting either.
Ain't no fun.
My practices aren't designed for your enjoyment.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Oh, how many times I probably had to say that to my players a few times in practice. It wasn't designed for your enjoyment. That came at game time and when we had success. Hey, we're back on the show. Man, it was great to talk to Alan Noss going into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame 2013 and a very worthy inductee. And joining us now, a very worthy inductee to be on the show. I guess he's not an inductee. We grabbed him. He's cheap. Don Schulteis, our Indianapolis Hoops contributor. Don, good to have you on. We're back, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the outstanding teams up in the Indianapolis area today.
Well, Coach K and Joe, it's good to be back on. And as you stated earlier in the show, things are really starting to kick into high gear for high school boys basketball. And although several teams have started their season in the past week or two, most of the top teams in the state are kicking off tonight and into the weekend. So it's pretty exciting, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Well, the top-ranked team in the coaches' poll and obviously in their class is Cathedral, and you have a little connection with Cathedral, but they're not just one of the best teams in the state. They're one of the best teams, considered one of the best high school teams in the nation. Plug us into a little bit about the pieces that make them one of the best teams in the state and the nation right now.
Well, I think first of all, you need to really highlight Coach Andy Fagan. Andy is starting his third year at Cathedral. He was assistant, I think, at Warren Central, then went on to Brebeuf, where he started his head coaching career and really rebuilt that program. And they ended up winning a sectional right before he moved over to Cathedral. Scott Hicks, who's moved on to Broad Ripple, had a 10-year stint at Cathedral and posted a lot of victories. But school wanted to make a change and brought Andy in, and he's 37-8. In the past 2 years. He's starting his third season, as I mentioned, and he's a young guy, lots of energy, and reminds me of a younger Coach K when he started out at WC as one of the, if not the youngest head coach in the state. But along with that, Coach, they have just an incredibly deep team. I mean, I heard Coach Fagan speak about a week and a half ago, and he said they could go 10 or 11 deep. Many of the people that are coming off the bench could start at a number of different high-quality programs in the city and the state. And so when you bring that kind of depth, headed by Colin Hartman, who is signed and moving down to Bloomington to play for Coach Crean and the Indiana Hoosiers next year. He started since his freshman year. He's 6'6", 6'7". He's a shooting guard. He can also play the three. He's much stronger this year too, so I'm sure he'll be guarding, matching up with some of the fours and fives, depending on who we're playing or Cathedral's playing. I say we because my son goes to Cathedral, and so I've got a little bit of Irish in my blood. He's supported by four other seniors, Mo Evans, who signed with IPFW. Mo is, I think, a very underrated point guard here. There's a lot of talent, as you know, in the state, and he has been very impressive. He's been playing on the varsity since his sophomore season and has started at point guard for the Irish the last 2 years. In addition to those seniors, we've got one of the top sophomores in the state, Jalen Coleman. He's a 6'2 sophomore. He's a four-star rated player by Rivals. He's got offers from Purdue, Indiana, Ohio State, Illinois, Notre Dame, I think, and Michigan State already, and probably several others that I'm not aware of. So they've got a lot of pieces to the puzzle. They've got a lot of experience. They were 20-4 last year, coach, but got upset by a very good Roncalli team in the semifinals of the sectional. Roncalli ended up not winning that sectional. I think LC ended up winning that sectional last year. So they've got a chip on their shoulder as well, and we'll see how it goes, because tonight they open up with one of the top four teams in the area, Warren Central. So it'll be first game out, but it'll be a tough test for them.
Tell us a little bit about Warren Central.
Well, Indiana fans will be excited to hear because Devin Davis is a signed recruit for Indiana. He's 6'6". He averaged 19 points a game last year and almost 9 rebounds. He's supported by 2 transfers that have come in. One is a 6'5", Jaron Lands coming from Brownsburg. He started and was their leading scorer last year from Brownsburg. He's coming in to join Warren Central. And then Gary Bonds, who started at Cecina as a freshman. He's 6'8". And I mentioned him a couple weeks ago when we talked about some of the top players in the area, and he's a sophomore. Is being looked at, I know, very heavily by Xavier University. Coach Mack had him at Muskie Madness, as I mentioned back when we talked about him. They're all led by Coach Greg Graham, and another IU former player. He's in his 5th year, so it's going to be a good team for Warren. And again, going head to head with Cathedral, first game of the year. Because Warren has not played yet either, it'll be a great test, and I'm scheduled to go out and watch that game tonight.
Well, the Warren Central program and in football and basketball over the years has just grown so successful. So the Indy area is full of good teams. They're also full of really good players, as you talked about. But one you mentioned last time, Eric Gordon's young brother. I believe his name is Aaron. He had a pretty good start to the season.
Yeah, Aaron is a freshman. This is his first year, and his older brother, Eric Gordon, Indiana Mr. Basketball, and played for Indiana for a year, and then he's off to the NBA. But we talked about Aaron a couple weeks ago when we were profiling players, and he is definitely the top freshman in the area. He's a guard. He can flat fill it up from 3. He can jump. He's been dunking the last couple of years. And he started his high school career formally with a 31-point effort against a very good Indianapolis Pike game or team. They lost the game, but I think it's just a matter of time before Doug Mitchell gets those guys in sync to make a big run. I have a feeling they're going to get better and better as they go through through the season. One thing to mention, I don't know if your listeners are aware, but this Doug Mitchell, who's the coach at North Central, has coached some really great players over the course of time in his career there. He's 328-124 is his record, 328 victories and 124 losses. I mean, it's pretty incredible. Because they do not play a soft schedule up here. So I'm very confident that North Central, at the end of the day, will be in the running to for the 4A state championship.
Well, Don, that's great stuff once again. And, yeah, Doug Mitchell does a great job. And I remember him coming out of the college ranks as an assistant, really one of the few college assistants that have come out into the high school ranks and had success, what I call real success, and he's done a great job. You get out there and you watch Cathedral tonight. I know I've got a nephew named Matt Schulteis who had a game this week, and I heard he did a phenomenal spin move, Don, and he must have had a good teacher this summer.
Yeah, he attended the Coach K instructional camp this summer, and he said it was one of the toughest 3.5 days of basketball instruction, but learned a lot and was able to apply a little bit of what he learned during the game last night. They played his team. He's on the freshman team and starts at point guard. I'll brag him up a little bit, and they beat Indianapolis Tech 43-22 last night. So it was a good win and a good start to the season.
Well, he already learned what most players have to learn. You got to take your drills into scrimmage and your scrimmage into game, and he did that. Don, thanks for being with us. We look forward to talking more Indianapolis Hoops area next week with you. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have Ryan Ernie, head coach of the Jasper High School Wildcat girls team. Yes, we cover girls as well. We cover it all in the sports world. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Yeah. I think there's something you don't understand. In over 40 years of looking at the best this state's ever had, I've never seen a better ball player than Jimmy Chilton. Never.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back, and Jimmy Chitwood was a great shooter. They did, if you didn't know this on the Hoosiers, he was a really good shooter, but they took air out of the ball, so when it would hit the rim, it would give it a favorable bounce. And I know my next guest played for me in high school and now is doing an exceptional job as the girls' coach. He's righted the ship with the girls' program at Jasper High School. We never took the air out of the ball for Ryan Ernie. He passed it a lot to Michael Lewis, but he was a great defensive player for me, and I have no doubt of why he's successful as a coach. Ryan, great to have you on the show.
Hey, appreciate it. Glad to be able to come on and talk with you today.
Well, Ryan, I'm going to brag on you a little bit. Not only were you an excellent player for me, and you were the kind of guy that found his niche in his senior year and just did a tremendous job in helping the team get to the regional and win a regional. But from the coaching standpoint, you came back to Jasper. You spent some time as an assistant. You took over the job as head coach. You're 61-37 in 4 years, and I know you're like most coaches. What you've done doesn't matter. It's what you're going to do that is the most important. But you've done a great job. And I want to ask you, as we get started here before we talk about your team, just how it felt to come back and get the opportunity to become the head girls basketball coach at Jasper.
Well, it's a great honor. You know, Jasper's a great basketball community, boys' side, girls' side. Our girls have a rich history. We've been to the state finals, not one, but we've been there. When Coach Karen Steffenogle was here, we won 7 sectionals in a row. So there's a lot of history for Jasper girls basketball. We've had some really good players. Karen being one of them headed to Ball State, and we've actually got one this year that's going to be also going to Ball State, and Shelby Murder, 6'3" forward for us. It's just a great honor to be able to work and coach in this community, and we got a lot of support with our Youth Hoops program that we've got up and running. So basketball's alive and well on the girls' program.
Well, this is the first time for you on our show, and it won't be the last, because we'll want to check in with the girls' team throughout the year and your program in general. But let's start right where you really left off as far as an individual player. Shelby Murder is going to go to Ball State, has been an excellent player for you. I played with her dad, Dwayne, in high school. He's a couple years younger, my brother John's age. She's been a solid player for you over the course of the last few years. Obviously, a big part of your program was the Sternberg girl who graduated. But Shelby's back, and she kind of anchors this team for you. Tell us a little bit about Shelby Murder.
She's really improved as a freshman. When she came in, she was, was just accepting her role as, I'm going to come off the bench. She's grown, from probably about 6'1 to about 6'3, and, extended her range. She's really worked on her basketball game, offensively, especially. Defensively, she's just got long arms and really affects a lot of shots. But what I'm probably more impressed with anything this year is her ability to shoot the basketball from outside. She knocked down 3 threes against North Harrison the other night. Last year, she never took a three and except at practice. And she's really worked on that over the summer. And, that's kind of what we talk to all of our kids about is, that's where you're made. If you want to be a good basketball player, you got to work at it during the summertime. And she's definitely worked on her game and has become a complete player. Last year at 6'3", she led our team in assists. And you don't see a whole lot of kids, leading your team at 6'3", but she's just such a great passer. She sees the floor so well. And she's unselfish. And this day and age, you don't find a lot of kids who are willing to pass down. Last year with Megan Sternberg, every chance we got, she was looking to throw it in there to Megan. But she knew that's where our bread and butter was. Now that it's her team this year, and she's just done a phenomenal job leading us so far this year.
I think you made a good point as you're talking about Shelby. And this is for all players out there listening and parents who have young people. You got to expand your game. You got to evolve your game because every year your opponents change, and when you get out of high school, if you want to go the next level, the level that you go to calls for you to do different things. We just had Alan Noss on, I was talking to him about being 6'6" back in the 50s. That was a big man. Today, he would need to be able to go out on the floor, handle the ball, and shoot the ball. So to Shelby's credit and to you as a coaching staff, you don't say, well, you're 6'3", we're going to hide you inside. You need to expand your game. The more you can do, the more difficult we are as a team to guard and to defend against, and that helps your team overall. And as you look at your team with Shelby Murder at your anchor, tell us a little bit about some of the pieces of the puzzle that make up the Wildcat girls team.
Well, we also have Tori Sommersheim, who's 5'10", and here's a kid. Didn't know if she was going to play last year. She came out, started every game for us, kind of wavered a little bit this year. I think just the getting out of the semi-state and jumping into basketball, she just needed a little time off and just an athlete. I mean, she can run the floor. She can shoot the pull-up jumper. She guards well, rebounds well for her size. And, Allison Lentz, here's a kid who kind of reminds, a little bit of myself. She shoots. I didn't, obviously, but knows her role on the team. And last year, you didn't know if she started every game or didn't play. She just kept the same demeanor. She works hard. And Allison's averaging double figures for us right now and has just done an outstanding job of kind of being that calming force out there for us when things can go, get a little rough. I've just been really impressed with her approach to the game. Madison Ubelor, a sophomore, kind of played her a little JV varsity last year. She's full-time varsity for us this year. Just sat out and really just shot the three last year for us. And something we talked about this summer is, look, teams, as you get into high school, they're going to scout. Coaches are going to figure that you can just sit and shoot. And she's really worked on attacking the basket and going for layups and getting to the free throw line. And she's a really good free throw shooter. Brooke Leakin's another kid that has come up from the JV for us, about a 5'9", forward, just strong, rebounds, understands the game. Emily Jones, a newcomer to our varsity, is our point guard this year. Quick. We're a lot more athletic this year, so we've been able to get up and down the floor and just been really pleased so far with where we're at this point in the season.
Well, and you're about three games in. When you look at your team right now and what you've done up to this point, how do you assess their progress?
We're growing, and that's the thing. You know, we're young. We've got just basically Shelby and Tori have really any true varsity experience where they've played full seasons. Allison had a little time there, and you know, we went to Memorial and we had 31 turnovers, and you know, that about drove me nuts. But we ended up, we found a way to win the game. And you know, as a coach, we came back and said, look, we've got to work on some of these things, making better decisions with the basketball. And you know, we go up against North Harrison, who likes to press and change defenses, and we had 17 turnovers. And you know, so I thought our kids are responding, and we understand we're playing a little faster this year. We're trying to get out and run, that we're going to have turnovers, but it's the unforced ones. It's just where we're just not getting anything. We're throwing the ball away for no reason. You know, that's something that we've continually preached, and obviously being the defender that I like to play in high school, we're going to rest on our defense, and that's something I, you know, our kids do a really good job of understanding how to play good, solid defense.
Hey, Ryan, I just got a text in, a question for you from David. David wants to know how you look at the Big 8 Conference and who are the top teams that you feel like you have to be careful with going forward.
Well, you know, Mount Carmel is probably one of the favorites. I think, obviously, Tyra Buss. If you've not seen Tyra Buss play, you really need to get out and watch her play. The girl can flat out dribble, shoot. It's amazing to watch her play. We were happy to hold her to 41 last year. You know, the girl can just shoot the basketball. Just, you know, and some of them, we had a hand in her face, and I said, you know what, if she hits it from 3 feet behind the line and knocks it down, then you tip your hat to a good player, and she's a phenomenal basketball player. Washington is a lot better this year than I think some people may have thought, so they're going to be a tough out in the conference. Mount Vernon is another team that's always, you know, they play hard. They've gotten a lot better, you know, since I've started as the varsity coach. You know, used to count, well, Mount Vernon, that was always going to be a win, and that's not so much anymore. They're a solid basketball team. Coach Mitchell down at Mount Vernon does a really good job with those guys. Vincennes, you know, they like to shoot a lot of threes, and, you know, what always concerns me about that is if they get hot, you know, they can get away from you. So the conference is wide open. Princeton's is going to be good this year. They got a freshman named Jackie Young, who is just, from what I've heard, a phenomenal player. I think Purdue has already offered possible scholarship to her. Some college coaches are coming to look at her already as a freshman. You know, she scored 35 points again the other night. So there's some really good, talented players in the Big 8 Conference, you know, with Shelby and Jackie Young and Tyra. So it's just it's a nice conference. It's a good solid conference for us to battle with every night that we have an opponent.
So you've got a game coming up tonight, I believe, with Evansville Central?
We do, yes. We've got Central, and it's nice. You know, we played, you know, Tuesday night against North Harrison, and, you know, Central's, you know, I think 0-4 right now, and this is a game that we want to see, you know, what level are we going to play at? And we talked about to our kids, you know, we've got to worry about what we do. We can't worry about what Central and what their record is and how they might play. And we talked about us being fundamentally sound, and that's something that we preach day in and day out. It's just blocking out the fundamentals, and you know, we feel if we can be more fundamentally sound than the other team, we're going to have a chance to be in and win every ball game.
Well, Ryan, there's no doubt, Coach, your approach is the right approach, and you're going to continue to do that. You and your staff are working hard. Thanks for being with us today, and I hope you'll come back and kind of expand a little bit more on the progress of your team, your overall program, and some of the girls, the top players and top teams in the area.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You get back to class and do a great job with those young people. I know that you take both sides, on the court and off the court, very serious. Thanks for being on with us, Coach. Loved having you. We'll be back.
I appreciate it.
We'll be back, and we'll be talking with Kurt Gooksell. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Think of your website as an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a website that doesn't produce results. Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help whip your site into shape. If you don't have a site yet, let Idea Fusion Media walk you through the entire process, from domain registration and hosting setup to the design and implementation of your site.
To see how Idea Fusion Media can help you, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. Again, that's IdeaFusionMedia.com. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you.
Forget about the crowds, the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, joined by our regular guest every week, Kurt Guxell. Kurt, how's it going?
Good afternoon, Joe, and very happy birthday to you.
Yeah, thank you. And just I told Kenny, we're looking forward. We're not looking back because there's God knows how much forward there is left. So,
oh,
hey, I just realized I can get an AARP card now, so I can get discounts on hotels, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm sure you can hit off the forward tees too. It's great.
Exactly.
Can't wait.
Yeah, come on now, guys. I already got my AARP card in the mail, but I didn't send in my money yet, so I'm not official yet. But I was practicing my Hoosiers clap back here. Don't know if you caught that. I know you guys were talking, but that got me pumped up and ready to go. And I got Kurt Guxell here, and finally we can talk a little more hoop action. We'll talk a little bit about IU. I can't really talk about IU with Joe, but I can with Kurt Guxell. So, Kurt, let's start this thing off. Let's get this party started talking a little bit about IU and North Carolina.
You know, Kenny, before we get to that, I want to talk about your interview with Ryan Ernie. That was outstanding. And you know, I'm in gyms all the time, all over Southwestern Indiana, boys, girls, it doesn't matter. And there's not a better coach and a more comprehensive coach and a more thought-out way of approach than what Ryan Ernie has. And you coached him. You should be very proud of him and what he's done with that girls' program. He's outstanding. And I wouldn't tell you somebody can coach if they can't. You know me better than that, but he's doing a great job.
Well, and I know you wouldn't, especially on this show, because we try to tell it like it is. But I am very proud of him, and I got to watch a little bit of his first year and see some of the things he did and how he approached it. And he understands the basic pillars, the foundation pillars of building a team. And when you do that, in the lean years, you're going to look better than you should. And in the good years, you're going to just really look good. And he's doing a great job. And we also had a great interview with Honeyberg, Happy Hunter, Alan Noss, and what a great award and reward for him in being chosen to be inducted into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's just outstanding for Mr. Noss. I mean, it's always good to look back, and you guys talked about history with the Cabby Gym, but look back at, you know, players of, you know, times before that we're involved in now. So, yeah, congratulations to Mr. Noss. And that'll be a nice night there in late March up at Indianapolis surrounding the basketball state tournament.
Yeah, and it will be. And, Kurt, I think that's one thing I enjoy talking with you about on this show is because you'll be honest, but also because you have a great feeling and love for sports in general, but the traditions that are there. And speaking of traditions, the IU, the Hoosiers not open up, but have a big game with North Carolina at Assembly Hall. The place was rocking. Everything was red. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to see where Indiana really was at this point in the season. And I got to tell you, I thought North Carolina was overwhelmed, but give me some of your thoughts on that game.
Well, I thought they were overwhelmed as well, but they are North Carolina. I mean, they beat them like your run-of-the-mill non-conference team, like they're going to beat Coppin State on Saturday. That's what they did to Carolina. I mean, four or five straight trips down the floor, they beat them back in transition. It was a layup drill, and you're playing North Carolina. It was Zeller. It was all those guys, and they really – handled North Carolina's frantic pressure that they like to use, and they turned the tables on them and got easy baskets. And it was, I mean, if you didn't see the jersey, you would have thought it was just some lower-level Division I team that they were beating. And Roy Williams said as much. He said, there's nothing we can do. We got Avalanche.
Oh, there's no – and you know what was so interesting? And I was watching it with my son, and we were talking, and how what a great job, and you can tell the time and effort has been put into it. You know, we said early in the year on this show, and people can go back and check on the podcast, that there's no better big man running the floor in the country today than Cody Zeller, and he proved that. And, folks, you have to understand, IU works on that. Cody Zeller's job on a made basket is to get down the floor. They've got somebody who's supposed to get it in. They've got people ready to receive it up the court, and they are to move that thing ahead. And they did such a great job. I've always told teams the best time to score on a team is after they've scored. IU proved it, and they also proved it on misses. North Carolina took some deep shots or some quick shots. IU had that thing out. People were running in their lanes. Cody Zeller was leading the way. And his catches, his body control, and I saw you mention it on Facebook, what kind of athletic ability do you show when you miss the shot on a layup, on a hard-moving layup, and you still rebound it and crush it back in with a dunk? It, just a phenomenal show of what he's capable of doing.
Oh, it was an unbelievable great play. It was a reload, like an alley-oop to himself on that miss. And going back to your point about pushing the ball, everybody thinks, okay, we're going to play fast, and that means run down the floor and shoot the basketball. But when Farrell's in transition, they get that ball out to him, and he takes that ball as fast as he can to that, in high school, where that volleyball line is. And then he decides what they're going to do, whether they're going to proceed to the basket or they're going to back it out and get into the offense. But as quick as they can get that ball up the floor, that's what they do, and then they can go from there. What that does, you might get some easy baskets because you beat the other team down the floor, or you get into your stuff quicker. But nevertheless, it's working for them, and all the good teams do that, not just them. But that's something that you got to look at, that playing fast, it just opens up all the options.
Yeah, and it's orchestrated, and they practice it and work on it, and your guys have to be disciplined enough to do it. And you look at it from the outside, but you don't think that. But it reminds me of the UNLV teams, some of those good teams that came out of the 80s that moved the ball up quickly. And Tom Crean, as we said, he came in from the Big East where they were moving the ball up and down the court, and he's married that with a little bit more ball reversal. But you have to have the right people in the spots. And this is where I've got to give him all the credit in the world for the recruiting he and his staff has done. They have put the right people in the spots that get that done. You know, Yogi Ferrell, I said it earlier on the show, Yogi Ferrell penetrating to the basket. He's not a great shooter right now, but he's so quick you have to defend him, and he's got Jordy Halls ready. He's got those other guys set up at the three-point line. Yogi knows where they're going to be, and Yogi is capable of making the pass. And obviously, the rest of the guys are able of knocking the shot down. I thought it's been good, Kurt. What are your thoughts on their shot selection?
Well, I think it's really good because in part to what Farrell is doing. And they're not taking a lot of bad shots because it's all coming into the flow. They've got the best ball reversal that I've seen all year because they'll attack a defense on a slant drive to the elbow. They'll create the collapse. It goes back to the point. It goes back around the perimeter. It may go inside. It may not. But, I mean, Sheehy's in the corner. They've got Watford in the corner. It's very good shot selection so far. Whether that continues and that gets a little muddled once you get scouting reports and get into conference play, But so far, so good. And I think that's something that Tom Crean has ingrained to those guys about shot selection, and not every shot's a good shot.
Hey, guys, I want to add a caller in on this discussion. He might have some good insight to not only IU but also to some high school basketball. We've got another celebrity. You know, it's something about the Coach K and Joe show that keeps bringing celebrities around. And we have Zach the Big Easy McCright from ESPN 101 in St. Louis, who does the show from 10 to noon, I think, is it, Zach, every day, the Zach and Coach show with Zach McCright and Rick Venturi.
That's right. That's right. 10 to noon. No, I appreciate that. No, and Indiana born and raised. I just moved here just for this show a couple of years ago. So, no, and far from a celebrity. But
well, Zach, it's great to have you. This is Coach K. Great to have you on the show. And sure, join in here. You got a question? You got comments? Or just join the discussion.
No, was,
good to have you.
I was enjoying your discussion, and thanks for having me. No, I was enjoying your discussion on Indiana. I am a diehard Indiana fan, I do agree with you, Coach K, on just how good. I don't think I've ever seen a center be as good in transition as Cody Zeller. I mean, I can't even think of one. That comes to mind off the top of my head. I know maybe about 5 years ago, like the beginning of the Roy Williams era. I remember North Carolina being pretty good at it, but other than that, I don't. And as good as Cody Zeller is at catching the ball, basically a lot of times like directly a ball directly over his head, like a receiver in the back corner of an end zone. You know, to be able to catch those balls, at 7 foot tall and be able to put those balls in the basket. And like you said, be able to stop on a dime after going 100 miles an hour towards the basket and being able to put back his own miss is impressive. I think the only thing I would add to that is that I have been impressed. I've had this discussion with a couple of my basketball buddies. I'm impressed by the passing. As much as I am the catching and the shooting that Cody does, the passing of guys like Yogi Ferrell and Jordan Holes to more often than not put a touchdown pass like that on the money is very impressive, very impressive. So the up and down game that IU has done, I mean, it's the most exciting brand of Indiana basketball that I've seen in a long time.
It's clean. It's clean basketball. You know, and when I say clean basketball, we're not watching a team throw the ball out of bounds. We're not watching charges. We're not watching mistakes made on ball reversals and sailing into the stands. Kurt made a couple of great comments before you came on, Zach, and that is with the ball reversal. You know, I was really critical of IU the last couple years on how they reversed the basketball. I didn't think they did it. And some of it was maybe they didn't have the players, and some of it was I just didn't feel like that melding of the ball reversal and the dribble penetration was being brought together. Whatever the change has been, it started last year, and talent helps, but I think Coach Crean and his staff have got it ingrained to these guys. We're going to move that basketball. We're going to break the defenses down. We're going to cause them to have to play defense so we can get some easy baskets. But Kurt also said something that I think is worth noting again. Kurt, you mentioned scouting reports and what goes on going forward. I don't think after beating North Carolina the way we did, we're going to just sneak up on the better teams going forward. And I think that's when the ball reversals and breaking down the defense become even more important, because I don't think we're going to get the easy runouts. I don't think we're going to get the simple penetrations. Cody Zeller has to get touches in and out, over the top, back in, back out. He made some great passes from the elbow area to guys cutting the baseline. Maybe start with a comment on that, Kurt, and then pull Zach in.
Well, you look at the scouting report situation. When you get into conference play, teams are going to know what you're doing. And that's what's great about this team. They've got good basketball-savvy guys. And you know how Crean is. He'll put different spins on each set that they got and expand on them from game to game. And if you've got a team that can pick up on that, they'll do just fine at that because they're so versatile. They got guys that can do a lot of different things. And it's just going to be a different game once they get in conference season, but I think this team can handle that because of the way they are set up and the way the Crean goes about doing things. I mean, there's a guy that doesn't leave too many stones unturned as far as basketball is concerned, so I feel good about where this team's going.
Yeah, I would just add on by saying that I agree. I was actually surprised that Roy Williams didn't adjust somehow in the middle of that game. It felt like for 40 minutes the run out game was in effect, and it never did seem to be stopped. And that's you're hitting on a conversation that I've had ad nauseum really since the North Carolina game. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that end up trying to shut that down. But there is a domino effect that will come with that though, and it will come. It will come in, I think, in Indiana's favor. What they will have to give up in run out points, fast break points, whether it be off a make or a miss, I think they'll make up for in offensive chances for the other team. And what I mean by that is if you backtrack the first thing that an opponent will have to do to keep the Hoosiers from running out, they'll have to send one guy, probably multiple guys, back the second that a shot goes up for their team,
yeah.
which then in turn is going to eliminate a good percentage chance of an offensive rebound by the other team, which then in turn is going to mean less offensive chances. Less shots for the other team. So, which then in turn means if IU's defense can just, you know, play good defense for one shot, they're more than likely going to get the rebound. So they're going to have at some point this year, you're going to have to trade out some run out baskets, but in return you're going to get a lot less second chances by the opponent. And so long as they can keep reversing the ball like they do. And really make teams. For some reason, it always seems to happen with Christian Watford. I don't know why, but he always seems to be out on a wing, and he ends up being the recipient of one of those ball reversals, and the guy will reverse over to him a little too late, and he'll just put the ball down and drive because the guy isn't stopped. His defender isn't stopped yet. So I think what ends up happening is you end up getting a lot of easier penetration points. So they may give up a little bit of run-out points in the future, of run-out chances in the future, but I think what they lose in that, they make up for with less second-chance opportunities by the other team. And so long as their half-court offense is humming, I think they'll be okay.
Well, before I make my next point, I want to, and we continue this discussion, we will keep this discussion going. Our live portion of the show is going to end in a couple minutes, but I want to remind our listeners that the show will not be over on podcast and iTunes. You'll be able to listen to the show in its entirety. So we're going to keep moving on, Zach and Kurt, so don't go away. But I wanted to touch on your comment, Zach, about possessions. If you got to send two or three guys back, you're right. You're going to give up extra opportunities on the offensive rebounds and another possession for the shot. The second thing that I wanted to add, and, you know, again, we'll kind of go with Kurt's response here. I thought that IU did a great job of putting pressure on North Carolina on both ends of the court. What I mean by that, I'm not talking about necessarily just full court pressure or just run. I mean, they were constantly guarding the ball, but wherever it went, there was a defender there. So there was a constant pressure. Nobody was getting an easy look, an open lane. On the offensive end, they were always coming at the defense, always either a dribble penetration, ball reversal, kick it in, kick it out. Cody's popping elbow, kicking it to the guy underneath. There was really no point in the game that some of those young Tar Heels could take a breather. And when the camera went over to Roy Williams, I've seen that look before. I've had that look before on the high school level. There's just not a whole lot you can do. You can try to change up. Sometimes you just say, well, you know, tonight this team's going to learn what it's all about, and we're going to pick up the pieces after the game. And I just thought IU did a great job of putting pressure on both ends of the court and making North Carolina fall back on its heels, both offensively and defensively.
Hello?
I lost it.
Yeah. I just wanted to get your response to the pressure that IU was able to establish on both ends of the court against North Carolina.
Well, I mean, they've got a good defensive concept. They are very good on their man-to-man pressure. They can get into some zone. But IU's got one of those defenses that looks like there's four, five, or six or seven, eight guys out there because they jump the ball. They cut down flashes. They just do a little bit of everything, and again, that leads to good offense.
Yeah, for me, I totally agree with you. I mean, I am, you know, the amount of good defense that IU played in the game against North Carolina, I think goes very unnoticed because of the number of points that North Carolina ended up scoring. But like you alluded to, Coach, you know, a lot of that has to do with the number of possessions that were in the game. I mean, I don't think there were many times. I'll just put it to you this way. I don't mean to be overdramatic, but we didn't see the shot clock going off any time during the game. I mean, there were a lot of times, you know, that guys were getting, you know, forget about the runouts, but there were a lot of possessions, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds into the shot clock, you were getting a shot off. So I think you're going to end up seeing why, if you end up looking at a stat sheet for Indiana this year at the end of the season, at least the stat sheet, and this is why I love tempo-free statistics over a box score any day of the week, because Indiana's going to end up at the end of the year probably middle of the pack in all of Division I, maybe worse, I don't know, in defense and points allowed per game. But that has a lot to do with the tempo of their offense. And if you were to break it down tempo-free and just, you know, see what they give up points per possession, I bet they fly off the charts in a really good way in that category.
Hey, do you guys get the feeling, and again, I'm just going to tell, you know, speak how I feel about a couple things. A couple things bother me. I feel like sometimes when Will Sheehy comes into the game, the focus for Will is shoot first, figure out what to do second. And I get worried about that down the stretch against a Michigan State, against an Ohio State. Not that he can't hit his shots. Not that he's not, oh, my gosh, incredibly athletic and quick. But I get a little concerned with maybe his focus. It seems like when that ball gets to his hands, he's looking to shoot first and not necessarily looking to score. And what I mean by that, when you look to score, it may be you or it may be hitting a teammate for the easy basket. But, I mean, jump in there, guys. What am I overcomplicating it? I mean, am I seeing something that's not there?
Well, you might. I think you might see a little of that. But, I mean, when you're standing wide open in the course of that offense and getting what they're getting now, why not shoot the basketball? But, again, that'll come down later on when teams see more of IU and they decide to take some things away. But I think they'll get that all straightened out. I think that's something that will evolve throughout the season.
I had a conversation. My boss is actually, which is really ironic, I'm from the New Albany area originally, and my boss, even though I work here in St. Louis now, my boss is actually from Indianapolis. So we both talk about the Hooters all the time, and I brought this exact thing up to him that I think it's going to end up being a curse more than a blessing that Will Sheehy scored whatever he's 19 points or whatever in the game against North Carolina, because I think that's going to do a lot more of what you just said, Coach. I think it's going to be, you know, a lot more of, you know, now he's got his confidence up. I can score. I can score against a top 15 team. You know, I am one of the leading scorers on this team, and I think it just is going to feed what I think is a little bit of a me-first mentality with him. He does have the athletic ability. There's no doubt. But so long, he's – I think there is, at least with me as a fan –
there is a little bit of that worry that that he may want to shoot a little bit more than he already does. But so long as that can be kept in check, I mean, to me, I think you're looking at one of the key assets to this team, especially when this team gets into foul trouble. That's gonna Will Sheehy's gonna have to be the guy that kind of steps up and takes a piece of somebody else's scoring.
Kurt, as we end the discussion here on IU and where they're at right now, and the same for you, Zach, but Kurt first, if you have to look at, and guys, listen, I'm not trying to find anything wrong with IU, but you always are looking for the weaknesses in the link of the chain to strengthen it. As you look at IU, Kurt, at this point, it's early. It's really early. But the North Carolina game was pretty impressive. Where do you think IU's got to be careful as far as just something with the team, offense, defensively? Is there something you see that you're saying, you know, I want to see that work in progress?
It might be a front court depth behind Cody Zeller, because if he gets into some kind of foul trouble against a really good, really strong type of conference team like the Nixes or the Paynes at Michigan State or whatever, who could come in behind him? A lot of people think Perea, maybe Jerkin can do that, but again, that's remains to be seen. So maybe front court depth as we move forward.
Kurt stole my answer. That's absolutely. I think that's
sorry,
absolutely
Zach.
The worry. No, that's all right. Excuse
no,
me.
I think that is a great point.
Sorry about that. I'll add one more thing to that. I even worry. I think we're nitpicking, like you said, Coach.
Yeah.
But I think one of the weaknesses in Cody Zeller's game, particularly, is when. And not only when he gets into foul trouble and he's off the court, but when he's in foul trouble and he's on the court, I feel like he is a totally different person defensively, to the point where it irks me. It bothers me how much he is so afraid to get the next foul that he almost won't play defense. If I were a coach of another team, I would go at Cody all day long. I don't think he'd foul me again. I don't think he'd pick up another foul. Let's say he had three fouls early in the second half and he's in the game. If I throw it down low, I'm not doing it to try to get Cody his fourth foul. I'm doing it because I think it'll be a free 2 points. That's how I feel about Cody when he's in the game, and in foul trouble. But I'm with you. Until we find out a little bit more of just how good guys like Jerkin and Perea are in the stead of Cody Zeller in foul trouble, I think that'll be one big question mark of this team.
Well, I think that you guys are probably right on the button, and that for me is definitely in my top three. I think I still worry about us losing our focus and getting into the dribble penetration and quick shot. I worry about that with this team, especially when Cody leaves the floor. It can reverse on you. It's like a great three-point shooting team. And I look at Michigan like this. I know Michigan is highly touted. I know Michigan looks good. I know Michigan's a little stronger in their front court than they've been. But they still live and die with that quick shot. And if it's not going in, they become a very average Big Ten team really quickly. So I hope the Hoosiers will continue to discipline themselves with that dribble penetration when you have all that athletic ability and you're unleashing it the way the Hoosiers have unleashed it. You got to make sure that you can rein it in, and hopefully the leadership will be on the floor to do that. Zach, thanks for joining us, and you're welcome to join us every week. Tell us again a little bit about your show and when it's on.
Yeah, 101 ESPN in St. Louis. I'm on from 10 to noon Eastern time every day, and you can listen to it. And we also do I do a podcast, a solo podcast by myself, where I'll have a guest on top of the show. I'll have a guest on and kind of talk a little bit more in depth about their lives and stuff like that. Kind of a back and forth in the chair kind of thing, and hang out. That's all online at 101ESPN.com.
Well, Well, it's great to have a fellow Hoosier joining us, and folks in that area pick that up and listen to that. Thanks for being with us, Zach.
Thank you.
Hey, Kurt, a couple more minutes with you. You know, we're just in high gear, high school hoops in the area. What are your sense in the southern Indiana area? We've got some pretty good players around this area. We've got not only the Duncans at Harrison, we've got Jaquan Lyle and some people up, kids at Bossy that can play. We've got Whitmer at Lagodi. We've got some other good players in this area. What can people look forward to with Southern Indiana basketball?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of good teams, a lot of good players. Ben Weber at Southridge averaged 18 points a game last year, and they're going to have a better team around him this year. And he is so physically strong. He can shoot the ball well from the outside, and there's no more mentally tough kid around. That's been well documented. And he is just one fabulous player, looking for big things out of him this season. So, down in the Evansville area, Blake Simmons, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting around the perimeter of DuBois County and seeing what's out there in the next couple of weeks.
You know, as we look at how the state really in the last, I really believe this, in the last 5 years, we kind of went through a lull with people around the nation looking at Indiana basketball players. We had some leave the state and things just got kind of quiet. It's really got exciting again, from the great players in the Indianapolis area up north to the southern Indiana region getting a lot of notice. If you're a young person and you're playing basketball, this really is, even though it's class, but it's a great time to be a high school basketball player in the state.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I'm just looking forward to seeing some good games and some good teams, and that's what excites me. I like those good games. We see a lot of blowouts throughout the year, like we do in football. But I want to see good games against good teams, well-coached teams, packed houses, and get the season kicked off where you're at it every Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday.
You know, Kurt, talking about some of those good teams, and, you know, I don't think anybody's had a stronger program in this part of the state in the last 20 years, and I mean 20 years, as Forest Park. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot because we've got games to play and things to learn about the programs, but how do you assess Forest Park, the Rangers, going into this season?
Well, they lost five stars from a team that kind of surprised a little bit last year. They, you know, a lot of people were naysaying them throughout the season, but they replaced five stars from the year before with five stars last year. They did all right. They won another sectional crown, their fourth in a row, and then lost all five stars, including Ben Broderick, who's playing football at Harvard, very good athlete, high jumper, whatever. And this year they returned all five starters, or no, they replaced all five starters, and they're going to try to find themselves away here in the first couple weeks of the season. They lost their opener at Crawford County. They'll go to Tell City tomorrow. But, you know, and it's weird. Just when you count a program like that out, they've got a culture. They got a culture that won't let you slip. They won't take a day off in practice. They got kids in the gym shooting the basketball before school. They just got a good culture, and that culture goes a long way. And that's just what I've garnered with the Forest Park program, because those new guys that are in there, they don't want to hear how bad they are. They want to see the program go on under their watch. And I don't know how they're going to do it at the end of the season, but they got some guys, they don't want to hear it. I mean, how bad they're going to be. And
you know, that's really an interesting point, and that's really the point that matters. It's the culture and that kind of that legacy that you've got to live up to. And, you know, people say, oh, and don't put so much pressure. They're just young kids. It's not that kind of pressure. It's a pressure, a legacy that causes you to lift yourself up and say, I want to be like that. I don't want to let the baton, so to speak, drop down. I want to follow on, and I want people to look at our team and look at me in the same light that they looked at those other teams in the past. And Forest Park certainly has that going. So we wish them luck as well, and to all the teams as they get going, both the boys and girls teams. All right, as we end up this show on the Friday at the end of November, Kurt, do you have anything that just bugs you, something that you just want to get off your chest?
Well, you probably brought that up because you probably think I complain a lot, but you know what? I'm pretty good right now.
How about jackets? Just flip flop.
That bugs me. The people that are a fan of a team. Now you got me going, Joe. Thanks. the big thing now is being the IU basketball fan and the Notre Dame football fan. I mean, come on. I mean, and I know a guy that's a Kentucky basketball fan and an Alabama football fan. I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, apart from being a fan, is suffering a little bit. Heck, I'm a Cub fan. I mean, you can't just pick and choose the teams that you want. I guess you can. I guess that's what's good about being a fan. You can do whatever you want. But, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you disagree, Coach. I'm sure you have.
I really don't disagree with you. I understand the personalization of that.
I like Dwight Butler play basketball. I mean, but it doesn't make me lose my mind if they lose, like it would be if Indiana lost, or if Indiana loses in football, I'm mad the whole weekend. You know, but I do like to watch Notre Dame. I mean, Purdue, I want them to play well. You know, I mean, it's just, but to go full jump into the pool, go on being a Notre Dame football fan and IU basketball fan, or vice versa, or whatever. That's not really good.
Irreversible jackets, it's called.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
I'll tell you what just bothers me a little bit, gets in my crawl, gives me heartburn, was Dickie V after that Notre Dame game. And I know this may not bother anybody else in the nation, but since it's my show, I can say this. When he had Mike Bray on, and he used that opportunity to put him on the spot and ask him for tickets to the BCS game because Notre Dame would be playing basketball in Cincinnati. Come on, Dickie V. I've heard you for 2 weeks now on the radio, on the TV, publicly asking for people to give you tickets. You probably got more tickets than you should get. You probably got more tickets than you deserve. Leave it alone. Celebrate the great victory that they had over Kentucky. Have a little class at the end, Dickie V. Just have a little class.
Yeah, he can afford tickets. They're not having any benefits for Dick Vitale. He can afford the tickets, and he can get those tickets. And you're right, because, I mean, that was a great victory for Bray and the guys. And, you know, they talked about the football, you know, for much of the game. And if you're a Kentucky fan, you're watching that game. That was a two-hour Notre Dame commercial, and that was supposed to be a national broadcast. But then on the flip side, Kentucky's had their share of ESPN love in the last 3 or 4 months. So. Yes, they have.
And Joe, we shouldn't let you out. You have anything you got to just get off your chest, buddy?
No, it's my birthday, and my family has to be nice to me today, and I'm living life large right now, so no.
Hey, I do want to compliment or at least give them some kudos. Purdue had a nice win over Clemson, 73-61.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
DJ Bird was a little unconscious in the first half, but we'll take it.
Yeah, they beat former Harrison and Wright State coach Brad Bonnell's team. So that was good for Purdue. And, Coach, you guys had Caleb Begley on a couple of weeks ago, and we all like Caleb and want to follow his progress. He had 30 the other night against John A. Logan in a losing cause.
Wow.
And he was shooting the basketball really well. Just a little Caleb Begley update. I read that in the Robinson paper, so.
You know, 30 points is not easy to get, no matter where you're at, what level you're on, or who you are. So kudos to Caleb. I'm sure he shot the ball well. You know, I got to talk to him at the Jasper Harrison game a little bit, and we're just talking about evolving his game. He was always a kind of a catch-and-shoot guy. He's trying to work on his footwork and moving with the basketball a little bit. And if he can continue to put the ball in the hole, he's going to get looks from Division I and Division II teams, possibly get him a chance to play on the next level and get a nice scholarship out of it.
Yeah, that was a great landing spot for him. Coach Mike Ray, he's been with Coach Sparks at Vincennes, coached high school basketball over at Crawford County. He was looking, again, at a culture change for his program, and he recognized from the start that Caleb Begley can shoot the basketball. We watch a lot of these games where, I mean, some guys just can't shoot. Some guys can't score. In the end, there's no substitute for somebody that can shoot the basketball. And I'm happy for Caleb because I'm sure it's, you know, some of the aspects of going to a junior college or going to an area that you don't have a lot of people over there every day can be tough. But he was going over there to focus on basketball and his schoolwork, and he's going to get a nice benefit out of it if things continue the way it's going right now.
You know, I talked with his dad, Rick, a little bit about the process that went on in him choosing, and I really liked how Rick approached it. It wasn't about what was the better-named school, what was the bigger school in the lights. It was, what do you want to do? Do you want to go sit, or do you want to go somewhere where you can play and get better and improve your game so that you can go to maybe something a little bit better than you could have? And I think that that's a sobering conversation to have with your young man or your young daughter, and that's the proper way to approach it. And Caleb is starting in an area that allows him to get out there and play right away and improve his game. And I'm just very excited for him and his whole family.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because, I mean, I did jump out at me when I saw that. Not that he's not capable of doing that, but the college basketball is college basketball, and you know that level. There are a lot of good athletes. There are a lot of good players that are there for one reason or another, and there's good coaching at some of those places, including where he's playing and in that league that they're in. So, again, congratulations to Caleb.
Hey, Kurt, I'm not sure if you heard me talk a little bit about Michigan earlier. I did bring it up in our conversation about IU, but I'm just not sold. I know they have a lot of talent. You know, Glenn Robinson III has looked good, and Hardaway, and they've got a little more size. I'm just not sure that they are the well-rounded team yet that maybe people think they are. I still believe they live and die on whether they can hit that three and shoot the ball well. I'm not sure they play both ends of the court and both parts of the offensive court. What are your thoughts on Michigan?
Again, like you said, they're very good. They've got some good pieces. Trey Burke just outstanding at the point guard spot. Robinson, that front line, they're freshmen or younger players. You got Mitch McGarry, the Morgan kid, and Horford inside. They're going to have to be the ones that maybe call for that ball and get them to do some things that they're not used to. But in that D-line system, they do, you know, try to exploit the three-point line, and it's worked down through the years. But I think can those younger guys turn into sophomores during the course of the season? How will they mature? How will they get better? I mean, I'm sold on B-line. I mean, they made a great hire with that guy, but it's just how are they going to evolve? We talk about IU evolving. Can they keep it together? Can Michigan keep it together? Can they build on that? And all accounts say they will, because Burke is a good point guard. Evidently, he's a good kid, and they'll keep on getting better. But you know, like everybody, they've got some question marks. Some may more than others.
You know, I talked earlier in the show about, you know, some of the issues with a young Kentucky club after getting beat by Notre Dame and the point guard situation. Where's that going to go? But let's talk about one of the other area schools that a lot of people watch and are excited about, and that's Louisville. Louisville had two tough, they suffered a loss, but they also suffered the loss of their center. And your thoughts on how that affects Louisville, you know, obviously in the short term, but are they a strong enough team overall to overcome the loss of a pretty talented center?
Well, they're going to try to get along without him, and it's just weird how things happen. Stephen Van Trees, who played up in Indianapolis in high school, went down there, you know, played a little bit, and they kind of left the program in the summer. Now he came back, and now they're going to need him to pick up some minutes, and with Zhang out of the lineup. So that'll be something they're going to have to get by 4 to 6 weeks without him. But, again, they're a team that likes to move the ball up and down the floor. They're strong at the point guard with Peyton Siva. Montrezl Harrell, who was a steal for them, one of the top players in the country, came after Greenberg got fired at Virginia Tech. So he's there. They've got Shane Bohannon is good. He prepped in Bowling Green. He's good. They've got Hancock, a transfer from George Mason, that can really shoot it. He struggled earlier from outside the arc, but he kind of found his way a little bit down there in the Bahamas. they're just very good because, again, they are a defense-first team. That's what Coach Pitino did last year. They had the worst shooting percentage in the history of the Final Four last year. But they come together defensively. And Pitino and Kareem's like this a lot, too. They break the game down. They do a lot of small defensive drills in the individual work. It meshes into the whole five-on-five defensive scheme later on. And as long as you can play defense, I know I just contradict myself about putting the ball in the basket a little bit ago, but at that level, if you can play defense and wait for that offense to come around, you can be very good. And I think Louisville's really good. I watch a lot of Louisville play, and I think they're really good.
Well, I do too, and I've always been a fan of Pitino on the court in his approach, and always used bits and pieces of his philosophy in molding my own. But the loss of Zhang, to me, when I talk about him being a center, maybe people that don't know him as a player, he gives you such a great, what I call a space taker. He makes it so difficult for the opponent to get into that lane and get the easy shots. He's a swatter, a rebounder, defender. He makes Louisville people out on the court the way he can handle that lane. And he did that in the tournament run last year. He was just so strong in the post.
And he could move out to 15 feet because he's a really good athlete. He kind of, he's not in the Cody Zeller level, but he runs. He gets that ball. He goes rim to rim very, very well as far as running the court. And, again, he can step out, hit that outside shot. And, again, he's one of those guys from where he came from, speaks like 9 different languages, just very smart, very astute, pays attention, and guys like him and guys play well with him. So, again, Louisville will have to find their way without him. I like Zhang. He's really good.
All right. Well, Joe, we got any predictions you want to do or anything you're going to try to trick us with or anything like that?
Only thing I've got is the two games that are important to me this weekend, and those would be the Colts or at Detroit. Any prediction?
That tells me the Colts can go and win that game, but Detroit's up and down, Stafford, Megatron, and the whole deal. Then you got the antics of Ngamangansou. You never know what's going to come with him, but that's a tough game because the Colts are obviously playing better than people thought they were, but it's a road game against a team that's pretty decent at times, so I think I'll go with Detroit.
Okay.
I thought Kurt would go with the Colts, and deservedly so. I mean, it's okay to take the Colts, but I think Detroit's ready to get this thing righted. I mean, they've really messed it up for the season, but it is on the road, and I think they have some weapons that can exploit the Colts. And defensively, I think they'll rise up a little bit more. And I'm gonna go with Detroit as well.
And I am also as well because I'm a Bengal fan, and I need the Colts to compete this week. And the next game is just that: the Bengals 3 in a row winners against the San Diego Chargers.
I love the Bengals. I think I like the Bengals not only in this game as a football team. They Dalton, they got a steal over that Carson Palmer mess.
Oh yeah.
Not only to get a better, younger quarterback by about 7 years, they get all those draft picks, and as the Raiders continue to stink, those draft picks get better and better. It's a great country that the Bengals are going to take advantage of this from years to come. AJ Green, unbelievable. Mike Zimmer's defense, really good. You got the law firm at running back, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who played at Indiana for DiNardo before going on to Ole Miss, went to the Patriots, learned how to win, learned how to be a good teammate, and he's running the ball very well. And, the Bengals, they got it going, and it wouldn't be surprising to see them beat San Diego because November is usually not good for North Turner and the boys out there.
Coach K?
Well, since it's your birthday, I'm going to go with the Bengals.
I don't know if I want you to.
I'm going
to
go with the Bengals because it's your birthday, and I want people to at least think on the air that I'm supportive buddy of yours when, in fact, it's probably not true, but you just have to run the control board for me. And I'm not real happy about Jimmy Skillman's comments on the picture you put on Facebook of me as I'm working my butt off moving the guy into a double-team trap that was going to lead to a steal and help us to get one bucket closer to a sectional championship in 81, questioning my number and my effort. But let me just say for Jim Skillman, and I know he'll be listening at some point, you never played defense in your life. I don't even know if you played offense at Elwood, but I know you never played defense. And did you ever cut down the nets? Because we did.
Okay. I would just like the golf like Skilly. I mean, you can forget about his basketball at this.
Well, you shouldn't have brought up golf because I can't do that, and he has that over me, and now he's going to come back and say, "Wow, well, yeah, you can't golf." I can't golf, but I can go into ponds and get the balls out.
Yes. Hey Joe.
Yeah.
Is this Butch Jones deal? Is this done, or what's going to happen with this?
From what I keep hearing, he's holding out to see what happens with Tennessee. So he wants the Tennessee job. So I was telling Kenny, you know, who knows what's going to happen if it can turn out like Tiller. Tiller apparently was the third choice back when he got hired. They wanted Bob Davie. Thank God he went to Notre Dame. And I don't remember who the second was. And Tiller was actually the third choice. And looking at the choices they have, you know, the coach from Kent State, is it Hazel or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, I like him. And so there are other options if he doesn't take it. So.
Well, I mean, well, does Butch Jones move the needle? Does that energize that fan base? Because that's about 80% of it. The other 20 is winning. I mean, if you don't get the people on board right away, and that was something with Hope. They never embraced him from the very beginning. And then when you couple that with not being very good, I mean, does Butch Jones make you want to go out and buy tickets at Ross-Ade Stadium? I mean, that's the first question.
Looking at Golden Black Illustrated over the last couple of days, I'd say it's about 50-50. Some people are excited to get him. Some people.
Well, the private people that aren't think that that Vince Lombardi's coming back.
Yeah.
You know, you got to understand where you are in the pecking order, who you are. That's what they got. They got in trouble with the Tiller deal. They had to kind of shove him out instead of letting him go out on his own terms. And maybe he leaves it a little better than what he did for the next guy to come in, and we wouldn't be talking about this. You know, but they were so in such a big hurry to get rid of him after 8 straight bowl games or whatever it was.
I think Butch Jones is a good choice, and I'll tell you why. He continued the success at Cincinnati, and I always look and see how did they follow up. And so we know he can recruit. We know that he can get things done. And I would think the Purdue fan base, just on reputation and the thought that they might catch Brian Kelly lightning in a bottle twice. So I think it's a good choice, and he likes to throw the football, and Purdue wants – they're the cradle of quarterbacks, so they say.
Well, I hope Butch Jones makes his decision soon, because the quicker he can get out of Cincinnati, the better, because they're going to be left without a league. They're going to be left with a lot of things that he doesn't want to stay for. So hopefully he'll decide – in a hurry, and I'm not so sure if I'm him, I want to jump into that pool with the Tennessees of the world. It's like Auburn, one of the best jobs in the country, but you want to be an hour and a half away from Nick Saban and fight that every day.
You're exactly right. I'm going to tell you, here's another thing I wanted, and you guys can check the stats. Just go check them. Listeners, feel free to rip me and send me comments, but Tennessee is the most overrated, overhyped SEC program there is. Yeah, they had Manning a little bit. Yeah, Fulmer had a – but if you go back over their history the last 30 years, listen, there's been a lot better programs in the country and in the SEC.
Well, Mike
Milligan,
he's a big Tennessee fan, so my judgment's always been clouded towards Tennessee. I don't like them because he likes them, so. But I do agree, though. I think that, you know, they've had some decent years, but – I don't know. I'd be interested to see if Tennessee does make a decision real soon. You know what does Purdue do? I mean, I don't want him sitting there holding them hostage, because the word is he has an offer. So,
well, that's great. And again, who wants to jump into that Southeastern Conference pool right now? Sure, you'll make a lot of money, but you've got to deal with that train that's Alabama. And Urban Meyer found that out, and suddenly he became unhealthy all of a sudden.
Yeah, Alabama.
No, he's fine.
Georgia's going to get Bears. Yeah. LSU's going to – I think he needs to go to Lafayette.
And what about Les Miles parlaying, saying that he's going to go to Arkansas, that they're after him, and he gets $500,000 a year with LSU? Those agents are great, Kenny. You need one.
I thought I had one in Joe. Hadn't got me any kind of contract like that.
No. I try. Everyone just laughs. So.
Guys, let's shut her down for the week and wish everybody a great weekend. And as they get ready to move into December and the Christmas season, basketball everywhere you can look, girls, boys, college, pros. You've even got the Celtics walking with canes and still getting in fisticuffs, Kurt. They're still trying to get in fisticuffs with a big celebrity like Chris Humphreys. Man, what are the Celtics trying to do?
Yeah, Rajon Rondo meeting with the Kardashians trying to send Humphreys a message. That's exactly what he's doing.
he's gonna be on the show the next couple weeks with them, and Garnett's gonna try to get there too.
Yeah.
Joe, any final thoughts?
All right.
That's it. We'll be back the same time next week and discussing sports and discussing what's all on our mind. And for Kurt Guxell and Kenny Schulteis, this is Joe Milligan. Say we'll see you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Benz Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.